Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, 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 ding.
I am Trebuchet coming into your ear hole, one step closer to your brain once again. Here for some wrestling talk. Sitting across from me, the one, the only, Showtime Schultz. How's it going?
How's it going, everyone? Thrilled to be here on the Undisputed Podcast of the World. Thrilled to be on this side of the paywall. It's
I have one ready.
I have one ready. You beat me to it.
It is my joke.
It was your joke. I guess didn't expect to not be able to get it in first. That's great.
When have you ever been faster than me at jokes?
That's a good point.
Also sitting here, Cody Goats.
Hey.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, what was your joke?
The man waving to a radio show. I just want to point that out.
I was going to say that what we were just talking about was definitely behind the paywall.
That would not be. Pre-podcast start was indeed behind the paywall. You can find my GoFundMe Showtime. I'll put my PayPal on it. If you want to know about what three shitheads talk about before the podcast, $5 the old PayPal.
I feel like you're gonna make some money.
Yeah, yeah.
The government would take all of it.
But we are here to discuss the backlash of WWE Backlash. The internet hated this fucking thing.
So funny story.
I hate this.
Thing.
I didn't hate it.
I liked winning.
I didn't hate
the
it.
The belt.
I.
By the way, hold on.
Fucking gate, great drummer.
But. No, man, I was more upset with the New Jersey crowd than anything else.
They were a weird crowd. But so, to put it into perspective, Wrestling Observer Online went down the night of Backlash at the end of the show because so many people hated it. They wanted to hear what Meltzer was saying about it.
They crashed their servers?
Think about it like this. WrestleMania does not crash their servers.
Yeah.
This Backlash pay-per-view... crashes like Brian Alvarez was like, this is my least favorite pay per view ever. They're like, you really think it's the worst one ever? He goes, no, not objectively the worst, but it's the only one that crashed my website.
So what'd you think about it?
Besides winning the belt, I didn't like it.
Hang on, what
was the highlight?
Before we start shitting on it, and we are gonna shit on it like her name is Nicki Minaj. I knew he would like that joke.
Ass-tastic.
It was The Miz versus Seth Rollins was an amazing match.
That was a barn burner
of an opener. That match was great. I'm really glad it went on first because I don't know that they could have won the crowd back with how the rest of the show went.
I think they could have won the crowd back.
I don't think it would have gotten the pops. I don't think the fans would have been into it the way it deserved to be when it was on the... I think the opener was the best place that match could have been because the crowd didn't hate anything yet.
That's fair.
That was a fantastic match. And then the rest of the card was just average at the very best.
Yeah. What was the highlight for you?
Did you see the opening match?
I don't think I saw the opening match.
Were you getting $35 in crab cheese?
Yeah, $35. I was definitely getting $35.
We got another $50 in other stuff, but $35 in crab ragoon, everybody.
That's amazing.
Just in case you wonder what goes well with...
Happy birthday, Ryan, by the way.
Just in case you wonder what goes well with weed, crab ragoon.
So I've heard.
Patent pending.
We need a crab rangoon strain.
Absolutely.
We're thinking of good business ideas, but
we have to cut this out of the show because no one's been stealing that from us.
Yeah. At least put it behind the paywall.
Behind the paywall. Crab rangoon strain of marijuana behind the paywall.
I missed the opener, which I think I heard from some people was the best part of it. It went downhill from there.
Easily the best match of the night.
It was
better than the WrestleMania match.
Is that their new thing where they start
high?
It's
weird. The triple threat with Finn was good at Mania, but I feel that one-on-one match with The Miz was amazing.
Yeah, I think three claps for The Miz here, real quick, guys. To hell with anybody who says The Miz can't put on an awesome match, because fucking he keeps on doing it.
The Miz does the same thing John Cena does. He matches whatever the other guy's putting in. If you're a 5-star wrestler with The Miz is a 5-star wrestler. If you're a 2-star wrestler with The Miz is a 2-star wrestler.
I actually think I like him doing it more than John Cena, because at least it matches his angle more. He can just check out to it. He's like, fuck it.
I don't necessarily think he checks out.
It's a different style.
It's weird to think about this because this isn't exactly carrying. But yeah, whatever, if you're in with John Cena or The Miz, whatever your level is, they're going to hang on that level no problem. Mm-hmm. If you're putting in 5-star, they're putting in 5-star. But they don't exceed anybody. Yeah, like, if you're only putting in 2.5, they're only putting in 2.5.
Right.
I don't know if that's a conscious effort or if their styles just don't lend themselves to being the more exciting one in the match.
Yeah, I just think it's just the way that wrestling is sometimes, you know, because it's like a dance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I mean, some wrestlers do a good job of carrying a match where, like, you... So,
no,
like,
there needs to be Kurt Angle needs to lead.
Yeah,
like,
Kurt Angle,
you know,
famously, you could put him in the ring with a shitty wrestler, and the rest of the other guy's stuff wouldn't look great, but Kurt Angle was still just hitting all his marks.
You're there
every
to watch
time.
Angle just do whatever. Yeah, he was a machine.
He was wrestling himself at that. You know, people would talk about, you know, Ric Flair could have a match with a broomstick.
Exactly. No, that's a legit thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, I would watch that. It'd be entertaining as fuck.
That was one of my favorite lines Triple H said. Is like, still like in snarky, I need to bury people, Triple H. Whereas that everybody walked out on that episode of Raw.
Yeah.
The wrestlers, and except for John Cena and CM Punk.
Yeah. Yes. CM Punk did commentary on
Triple H.
Asked him for double pay.
Yeah, Triple H comes out and goes, you know, we don't need him. I'll get a broomstick out here. I'll wrestle that and probably have a better match than half the roster.
Boom!
Yeah, and then CM Punk is like, supposedly, you know, you announce, and he goes, can I wear your blazer? Yes, Triple H wore his blazer. He's like swimming in Triple H's blazer.
It did not fit at all.
And then he goes, he sits down, and Triple H yells at him to ring the bell. He goes, double pay.
Yeah. He goes, fine.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, you can have double pay.
But besides this match, the other highlight I would say would be Carmella beat Charlotte clean.
I wouldn't call the match. The match was bad.
I didn't hate it. I did not hate it. It wasn't.
I looked at it. So I took a better look at it.
Yeah.
They were. It didn't. It looked a lot sloppier than I remembered it looking.
Okay.
At
you. I did not.
I was sober. I was drinking.
Yeah. No.
You were drinking. You probably were like whatever.
I enjoy
looking at Carmelo.
The highlight for me was probably the AJ match, and it ended horribly. Like,
that's part of the.
That's my highlight.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
No, the Charlotte match didn't look good. I will say that Carmella winning clean, I think, is noteworthy.
Yeah.
But it was by no means a good match, and Charlotte's, you know, pretty banged up right now, and it seems like I was telling you before this.
There's no year of break.
No,
she's off the road this week for dental surgery because she got her teeth kicked in again.
Oh wow,
she's had so much work done on her mouth recently.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
She I don't know when she's taking time off. She got a ruptured breast implant.
Oh wow.
And they like, you can sit on that for like a minute, but like, you,
it's poison if
yeah,
it
yeah you need to
shit,
take care
so.
Of it soon-ish.
Yeah.
And I think that people were saying that happened in a match with Carmella, so it's too bad that their matches aren't better if Charlotte's like really taking a beat and working with her. I like Carmella as a character. I think her character's great.
She's sassy as fuck.
She's
like,
fine on the mic.
She's fine on
the mic.
Her wrestling skills may not be like, she's not going to put on a 5-star match anytime soon. I don't hate her matches.
I feel like Carmella would be passable in like 2005 women's era. We're like, she would be one of the better wrestlers on the roster there, but now women are having real wrestling matches, and I think she's definitely fallen behind. She was in NXT for a long time.
Yeah.
They didn't want to move her up. I'm not going to call her, like, she's nowhere near the worst wrestler ever, but in the stage of women's wrestling on WWE we're at, where like women are having fantastic matches, she definitely is a glaring weakness.
I don't think so. I think that she, what she does,
she's not going to sleep with you, Joe.
I don't care. No, I look at the Melibration. Like, you know,
no,
what I mean?
Like, she's a great.
Her segments are great. Look,
I completely agree. I just mean in ring.
In ring, yes. But I'm not going to let you just bury her, though.
No,
she's good for the product. Like,
I agree. If it sounds like I am banging her, I am not presenting that because she is a great character.
Yeah.
Her just, it's between the ropes, the in ring technicals, she's not very good at.
I like
but
her.
I like
and
her
she
as
might
a,
sleep with me.
I like her.
I told you. I do.
I knew not to take that. Take his answer seriously. I've known you too long, Joe. I was going to say something, but I didn't need to. You said it for me.
She, I loved her stuff with Ellsworth. Like, she was a great manager.
It worked really good.
She's been great on the mic. Her character's perfect. She's like a sassy, you know, snob girl, and it's great. Mm-hmm. I wish she wasn't so sloppy in the ring.
I think it's passable. I really do. I do not have a problem with it. I've seen way worse wrestling in the past. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've over the broad spectrum of pro wrestling, I'm like, this is fine. This is like, this, it's passing my bar.
No, absolutely. Like, I guess that my position is, like, in this era, we should be, like, we shouldn't have, like, there is so many good female wrestlers we don't need to have someone that can't wrestle when there are so many people that can. Mm-hmm. We're back, you know, like 2004, we're like, well, she can't wrestle, but like, who can't? Like, who are we trying to get? Where now it's like, there, you know, there's like, in the indies, the women's indie bookings are almost as big as the men's at this point.
Yeah, right? Like, it's a limited thing on the WWE. It's still like, half and half by any means. So it's like, you got so many talented people, and you have a limited time to show them, and you're showcasing her on top.
I
get your argument. Even on the
SmackDown roster itself, we've got so many better wrestlers. Mm-hmm. But then again, I don't know what we have a more over heel on SmackDown than Carmella. Carmella is over as a
heel.
That's
what I'm, like, so it's just,
it's unfortunate. You know? I wish. Maybe have her like go back to NXT for a bit.
No,
like,
come on now.
Move the rooster out there for a month.
Now you're just being ridiculous. Get out of here.
Come on, me again.
I'm gonna take a laugh.
He's taking it. Joe's taking a laugh. I didn't even have to mention Dolph Ziggler. Like,
Dolph Ziggler. Hold on.
Wait for it. You're like doing like the wake. You ready to hit him with the rock bomb?
Dixie Carter.
We're gonna talk more about that later.
Yeah, we are. We are definitely gonna talk more about Dixie.
Figure out a good time for a promo.
what else happened on Backlash while Joe's doing once around the room?
Oh,
are you back?
Call me NASCAR. I'm doing laps today.
Yeah, but no. The one last thing, Carmella, I was gonna say is that I'm spacing it now. I wonder why.
She did offend it in a whole country with her ass the other day.
You made that show. I forgot about that.
That was great. I want my ass to be that powerful someday to just make a whole country fuck you!
Just show it to some people sometime. Oh, don't sell yourself short.
I remember now.
I like it.
I think that's kind of why she stayed down in NXT for so long. So like maybe give her another opportunity.
Yeah, no,
like,
I definitely think, at this point,
I think they're just like, this is what we're going to get.
The
let's bring her up.
She didn't spend a long time wrestling in NXT. Most of her time, she was a manager.
Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, she really didn't get in the ring until Enzo and Cass went up, and then she came up a few months, about like, we'll say 6 months later. Yeah, most of what she was doing was managerial stuff there.
Okay.
She's a good heel in there, man. Like, she puts somebody in a headlock. She does the basic stuff. She'll be talking shit while she's doing it. You know what I mean?
The other thing that people don't seem to like is she has a lot of screaming.
Yeah, I like makes people hate her.
It's like Jericho. It's like, say when!
Some people, they think that screech really takes away from the product. I mean, she was yelling the entire match.
Well, Melina used to do that. Do you remember Primal
people
Scream?
People didn't like it when she did it.
Did Cody Goes like that?
I definitely did.
All right, gentlemen.
Eminem.
I'm all the way.
That's the thing is, I think that...
Even though people hate it, they're not going to stop watching wrestling because she's doing it.
Sure. I think that's fair. I think they feel like it really hurts her match quality when, like, you... There's a time and place. I think she hasn't. I think she's overdoing it.
I don't. I think it's part of her character. You know, like she's not the best in ring, and she's not gonna impress you with like her moves and stuff. She's gonna fucking make you hate her with like her mouth. You know.
Yeah.
It's the ring psychology is what they're calling it here, guys. So
I'm being lectured by ring psychology by the guy that liked the Braun Strowman tag match at WrestleMania.
Come on now. Why do you hate kids so much?
What
Chad?
Is life? How long do we have?
Oh my god, we think it's gonna be a 4-hour podcast.
We will revisit Carmella again at some point. I'm sure.
I'm sure she will come back. But hey, before anybody gets twisted though. I like Carmella way more than I like Sasha.
Sasha Banks.
Okay,
that's good. Like Sasha Banks. I'm not trying to, still.
But, no, people were literally getting up and leaving Backlash during
Reigns. Let's talk AJ, and then we can talk the main event, right. Roman.
Well, AJ Styles, Nakamura, this match I thought was in a bad spot. Like,
That makes sense.
Tell us about the match.
The match itself was good. It was no disqualification. No, it wasn't no disqualification, was it?
No.
No, it was no DQ.
It was no DQ, right? Because they were all.
It was
an underwhelming no DQ because there was some limited weapons, which I actually didn't mind.
It was good. It was a decent match right up until the finish. The finish, they both kicked each other in the pills, and they didn't make the standing 10 count. And, you know, that was it. AJ retains.
Could one of you guys figure out the last time we had a non-standing 10-count finish? Because I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a last man standing match. But the last
How about a non-standing finish that isn't, like, that's the only fault?
You're going to have to go back maybe to the Attitude Era.
I was going to say, because I've been watching wrestling almost 15 years at this point, and I can't remember one non-standing 10-count. Usually, like, the ref would start counting for the standing 10 count, just kind of like draw out the drama of them both being down.
Yeah.
But I don't remember they're ever calling a match for that.
I feel like it's going to be one of the pay-per-views that everyone hates, but every now and then people are going to go back and show clips of it, like, because of this, like, moment. And people are like, remember when that happened? That's a rare fucking thing.
I thought the match... So
the match was
take away the
yeah, I know.
I thought the Shinsuke-AJ match was pretty good.
It was.
Definitely better than their Mania match.
Yeah.
I think they told a good story.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered why they put them in the spot they did on the card, but then the finish explained that because it was a total bullshit finish.
Yeah.
And they knew the fans would have rioted on that.
I disagree.
So I didn't hate... I personally did not... You don't think they would have rioted on that?
I don't think so. I think they...
They were fucking mad about it, and it wasn't the main event.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like people... Like, they would have been mad about it, but, like, they would have had a good enough card... To the point where
did you see the rest of that card?
Yeah, that doesn't go well.
The order of the pay-per-view is very important, and I've been stressing it for a long time. When you put your main title in the middle of the pay-per-view, people don't care anymore. Barring the Royal Rumble, your whole focus is the WWE Championship, the Universal Champion's not going to be there, and the Women's Championship was already defended. There's no reason... I don't care if Roman Reigns is the top guy. If it's not for the title, it doesn't belong there.
I agree with it. I think WWE, as a rule, tries to avoid massive bullshit finishes for their close the show. They've been doing it recently. It hasn't always been that way. When's the last time you saw a total non-finish of a main event of a pay-per-view?
It's... Without, like, a three count or just, like, any... Like, I'm not...
It's when they need a screw job win. But when was the last time you had, like, a straight-up dusty finish that, like, there was no real winner as the main event of a pay-per-view on WWE TV?
I don't know. I'd have to do some research.
Yeah,
what happened in the main event?
Nothing.
I think they're actively trying to not do that anymore. Because sometimes you'll get, like, a heel win, and they haven't even been doing that so much, where, like, a heel win in the main event with cheating.
I think maybe I've just been brought up watching Bischoff stuff, because controversy creates cash, as far as I'm concerned. You end the main event of Backlash with a double kick to the nuts. That's what people are going to remember. Whether they like it or not, whether they thought they got their money's worth or not, they're going to be talking, and I think it's good for the product overall. Like... It's better than people walking out.
I'm not sure if you have to look at the ratings. I don't know that that finish is better than, like, if I don't think that spurs people to watch the next day. I think that spurs people to go, this is stupid. I don't want to do, like, I don't want that. That said, the Roman Joe main event didn't.
Yeah, I know. It'd be interesting the conversation we'd be having if the other matches were really good.
I agree. But as far as the ending to Styles Shinsuke do, I actually like that double finish.
I like it. It was done. I'm glad it wasn't botched.
Everything leading up, it wasn't like a random, like, we're going to introduce Lobos into the story now.
They were
building towards it.
It was a cool, like, Rocky finish, you know, the double K, but. I know a lot of people on the internet thought it was really bad. And I didn't hate it.
I think the internet's a little bit hard on Backlash, but the internet's hard on everything.
If you had to have a non-finish, I'm glad it was one I had never seen before. I guess that was the thing with it. It was like, I'd never seen that one before. So, yes, it was a non-finish, but it was also a new one that was done well. It looked like they both blasted each other in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad Shinsuke didn't take a loss, clean or otherwise.
No, hey, it's Shinsuke, good for the Nakamura character.
Shinsuke losing there after losing to Ace Styles a few other times.
He would have been done.
Would have really hurt him.
You were calling his career gone after that.
I mentioned that.
You were calling his career over. So the non-finish is not a loss as far
as I'm concerned. If they were not ready to put the title on Nakamura at Backlash, that was the best finish they could have had for him, his character.
You're right.
Okay. I'm really digging his new music. I didn't love it the first time I heard it, and I've been rocking out to it ever since.
I was telling people before the next pay-per-view, I'm going to learn it. I don't think I'm going to be
pronouncing the words. Can we get a translation on it?
I will look it up.
I'll look it up next time.
But I want to try it out.
And then we had Bobby Lashley, Braun versus KO and Sammy, which also was a bad match. It was rushed.
It
didn't really tell any sleep.
Was that the only tag team match on the card?
I think so.
Yeah, that also no tag belts,
no tag titles.
They told like a weird story with Zayn and Owens where they were like turning on each other in the match.
They slapped each other, and then
it was what they had been doing on SmackDown a few times already. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
Way overbooked and kind of slapstick, and then Braun and Lashley told like no story at all.
Yep. They were like, we're out here, we're gonna beat.
We kept calling for like one of them to turn on the other one or something.
I wanted Braun either turn heel, which I didn't think was gonna happen, or Lashley to like attack Braun, and like Lashley could be like he was a decent heel in TNA.
Yeah,
not decent.
And now we were just talking about how we thought, like before the show, we were talking about how he might be just turning heel in general.
I like Bobby Lashley. They're really building his character up a lot. Like on Raw, from the little bit of Raw I did see, it was fucking like Bobby Lashley all day.
I mean, they're paying him a lot of money, and he's near the end of his career. He's pretty old. So I think he's well into his 40s at this point.
I'm pretty old. He's still built like a brick shit.
But the thing is if they're trying to get maximum potential out of him, he needs to be back in the main event today. Like, is the same thing they said with like Batista when he came in the company. He was well into like his late 30s when he came in.
So he needs to be
in the main event today, because in 10 years he won't be here.
Gotcha. He won't be able to put on the same type
of matches. He won't be your main event in 10 years, so he needs to be the main event in 10 days.
Gotcha.
And then Joe Reigns, and let me tell you, the main event. Fans were walking out in droves. Apparently, Vince McMahon is apparently shook.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon did not.
People have been finally clicking to him.
People have been telling him people don't want Roman. Nah, I know what they want. And then they just walked out, and I guess Vince was not happy.
As a man who hosts open mic comedy nights and had people walk out on your show, it doesn't feel good when people walk out on your show. That definitely grabs your attention. Like, you're like, oh, okay, I don't need to adjust something so this doesn't happen again.
Part of what I'm wondering is, because I remember asking the match during the match. We couldn't tell on TV that people were walking out, because I think they were covering it.
They were zooming in on the action and stuff.
So I was wondering, why the fuck is this match so slow?
It was one of the slowest,
most methodical matches I've ever seen.
I didn't hate that. Like I said, I was mad at the crowd. I'm like, why are they booing a fucking hammerlock? You're watching a world wrestling entertainment event.
There was a lot of rest holds for it. That wasn't a long match, and Joe was very clearly gassed. And what I'm wondering is, I wonder if they slowed the match down because they were just pissed that people were walking out. They're like, "What? If they want a fucking boring match, we'll give them a boring match."
I know some guys do that.
If the crowd chants boring at them, they fucking slow down.
I would too.
It's like brake checking somebody.
Eddie used to do that a lot. Someone had Eddie had someone like in a rest hold, and the fans were chanting boring, and he's like, "Aren't we supposed to break this hold?" He goes, "We work them. They don't work us. We're gonna sit here, and they're gonna make them want it.
I think it's like, regardless if people hate it or not, as long as they're like sitting and watching it, it's fine. But
it's worth noting they were not sitting and watching.
No, they were not sitting and watching it. This may be the ultimate thing that changed the storyline.
I hope it doesn't kneecap Joe too bad. Because it would be classic Vince to be like, "Oh, they were mad at Joe."
Oh yeah,
to put the blame on someone, the crowd was popping for Joe.
The crowd still pops for Joe.
He got a good pop coming out. They muted the crowd when Roman hit. I saw like a, it was like a 5 second clip when Roman's music first hit, and it was like a thunderous boo, and they turned the mics way down.
I hate when they do that. Like,
Vince is trying to, he thinks that he can convince us that we don't hate Roman.
Like, not gonna happen. We're all connected because we have the internet.
No, Vince is probably still doesn't understand the internet.
Like, I believe that. That's
yeah, that was right. It was a boring main event that really didn't tell any story. It mattered so very little.
Was it for a number one contender?
No, it was Joe's on SmackDown, Roman's on Raw. Like, it was just their last meeting. And I also feel like Joe needed that boost.
Well,
like beating Roman.
This match should not have been the main event. That is my stand on Backlash.
I agree.
This match. It started after anything. 11, and people were already ready to leave.
Why should
in
I
the first
care?
Place? So I should.
Like,
and that,
it wasn't
yeah.
for anything. Like.
I
Joe's a destroyer, we want to see Roman get destroyed. Is that the whole? Is that it? Like, it just seems so simplistic and like just.
I see why Nakamura Styles was the main event. I also feel like putting this match as the main event was also a super bad choice, particularly if you booked the match to be that methodical, because that's also not a main event style match. I've seen wrestlers break down what every match in the card should kind of look like for a optimal audience experience.
Yeah.
Your main event should not be
that slow.
3 minute hammerlocks. There is a spot for that on the card. That's not necessarily bad wrestling, but you open with that. You don't close with that. Unless you're running an hour match, but this was a regular
match.
It was a regular length match.
That's my thing. Like, yeah. I'm like, I just want to see where it goes. Like, I'll watch a 3 minute hammerlock. I don't fucking care. Like,
I don't mind it as long as it fits in the match. But this was the pace of this match was just so much worse than both these guys can do. Joe's a big guy, but he can move and he can hit good moves. And Reigns isn't.
Reigns can go. In
yeah,
the Reigns, range,
this
like,
was a bad Reigns match.
This was a bad match for both of these guys. Like, this is nothing that they're gonna.
I think. Yeah, I want to say Meltzer gave it somewhere under 2 stars. Carmella, Charlie got 1 star.
Okay, that's people. I didn't hate it that much.
No, after seeing all the matches, what match do you think should have been the main event?
I would have put one of the championships up there. Regardless, I would have put either the WWE Championship. Like, I maybe had a tag team championship match.
That didn't exist, yeah.
Or made like, the Roman Reigns Samoa Joe a number one contenders match for either brand. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't have a non-stipulation match be your main event. People don't care.
Well, you can have a grudge match, but that wasn't it. No one's behind that feud enough to make it a grudge.
Well, like,
match.
Even the Intercontinental Championship, like, if you want to make that your main event, I've always been okay with that.
That main event, if you would have put, if they had that match in the main event, I my worry would be the crowd would have shit on everything so hard that they wouldn't have been into it. But if they could get them into it, people would have complained less about the pay-per-view because the main event would have been awesome instead of the opener being
I'd bet you if you open with Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, the crowd still is into the wrestling.
Yeah,
because
they had that in Saudi Arabia, and it kind of worked about
that,
it.
That is a good. If you open with Joe Reigns,
that was the
seeing
problem
Joe
with
and
this.
Reigns might get they might be more into the match than they would be at the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then the fans wouldn't have walked out in droves because of Rollins' Miz, and it would have made the Intercontinental title look way better. Like
that's
our
what
main
I
event
been.
In lieu of Brock Lesnar being
that's what
here.
I was gonna say, yeah,
so that's
answer, yep.
Trebuchet the Booker.
Because it's interesting. It's interesting what you put on last seems to decide so much of the pay per view. People are calling this one of the worst pay per views of all time.
Yeah.
If they had the exact same matches, but you switched the curtain jerker with the main event.
Yeah.
I wonder. I don't think people would say it was an amazing pay per view, even a good pay per view. I wonder
it's
if they.
Passable
pay per
view.
I wonder if they would. Say, I wonder if people would still be calling it the worst pay per view they'd ever seen.
I don't think they would have.
With no difference in match quality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Would've just stacked
same exact different. Matches. You just flip them around a little bit. Mm-hmm. I bet you that it would have been different. But you know, that's my 2 cents on that. So.
Yep. There we go. That was Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Backlash of Backlash.
Yep. All right, Mr. General Manager. Since
let's talk about Total Nonstop Action.
We got some terrible management going on right now. Let's talk about other terrible management. Total Nonstop Action.
So we've been teasing this for a while.
Yes, yep. You asked for it, and we're giving it to you.
A general history of TNA with extended focus on the management of the company.
Yes. One of you guys can pull up some stuff.
I'll pull up
on
some
the
stuff.
Internet. So, like, we're recording on my phone. So I'm just doing all this stuff off
the top of my
head.
I figure we know most of it.
I definitely have it in some references. There's a lot of like names and stuff. So currently, TNA
is owned by which company?
Anthem Sports, 95%. Dixie Carter, 5%.
Currently in house, we have a delete Dixie sign.
Delete.
Arm things. Indeed. Also, hashtag fire Dixie sign behind me, just because we're just hanging out with signs here today.
Yeah, there is a weird amount of there's like signs for fire Dixie. There's signs for telling to fire some football player I've never heard of.
The person who used to run the Lions.
The general manager of the Lions. Fire him. We've got a sign with Joe proclaiming his love for the local weather girl.
Oh yeah, that went over really well, by the way.
She's a total
success as far as I'm concerned.
He thought the U was going too far when I made it, but I went with it.
Very special. That was a highlight of my weekend.
I'm waiting for the knock on the door for the restraining order to be you've been served.
Yeah,
sir.
I'll be like, this is new.
We'll just tack that up there, the rest of them.
Yeah, I'm just gonna hang that by my world title over there, no big deal.
Yeah. It's funny, I once told Joe that Stormy Daniels was a weather girl and he believed me.
Oh my god, that's a good joke.
There's an 80% chance of a boner, that's all.
Only 80? Buddy, you gotta see a doctor about that.
She's still got that weird Trump smell to her.
Okay. That's fair.
We have taken a turn.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Should be behind the paywall.
The Undisputed Podcast of the World discuss politics. That is definitely behind the paywall. I regularly surf for password sharing sites, and if I see our name on there, you will be contacted. So don't do it. Don't you do it. Because I ain't paying $20 for browsers. No, sir.
You can find it for free. Okay. Anyways.
You would think the A-Train was running this show. It's so off the rails. Like
the MIA train?
The MIA train.
I laughed so I know hard about that.
I am so proud of you for that calling them that.
It was right up there with Christopher Dale Chips.
Dale Chips.
That was good. Okay. So.
Noted that Ryan could be our champion if he would have just put his faith in me to beat you in.
That's true.
Mean Bean Machine.
You wanted to do it on his own.
You are a Mean Bean Machine fucking. Like,
machine.
Machine, yeah.
Yes. He beat me, though. He beat me fair and square. It was a good match, though. It was a good match.
Yeah.
They were close games.
You I think you guys have yet to play a game around here I can't win at.
I know. 2K. I'm glad that I don't know why A-Train didn't make the. We didn't have 2K on us. That was really the deciding factor. Is that like? But me and Ryan probably would have saw each other right after.
I don't have 2K18. But if you guys ever want to play 2K17, the game I have that downloaded on my Xbox. Like,
oh, nice. Okay.
I can make that. Like, I can as long as I'm around. I'm not going anywhere. No one's offering me more money. So if you guys want to make 2K17,
I can't wait for someone to offer more money and he leaves us. And we're like, fuck!
We should have took him up on that 2K17 idea. Damn it!
Yeah, if you guys want to make 2K17 the game, yeah, I'm more than willing to offer that.
I'm just gonna be like, where the fuck's the B? Okay, I'm really bad at the
general manager. The general manager has the stroke.
I'm around.
I'm gonna leave it.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it.
That makes sense. No. As
I don't know why A-Train left it that
as
way.
As a spike, I totally understand playing here. Yeah. But as soon as they offer me more money, I'm going to WCW.
What about you?
Have fun there.
Sticking with the theme, what about Impact? After you go.
I will say, I will quote Tyrus, who recently left Impact with this. Tyrus, that would be Tyrus.
The Tyrus.
Tyrus of Fox News.
Yes.
Brodus Clay.
Yes.
The Funkasaurus.
Yep.
Has said that TNA is a sinking ship, and it hurts his image to be a part of it.
The Funkasaurus.
Yes, the Funk. Yes.
Somebody call my mama. Happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Yes. Three claps for moms.
Good job. Love you, Mom.
Extra clap for my mom.
Oh,
I love her.
I'm going to go see my mom in a little bit.
I ate brunch with my mom on this table.
So, yeah.
All right.
We're all humans. We all have mothers.
Yeah.
Just proved it right there.
Yep. Boom.
So, glad we got that out of the way.
Real talk. So, founded by Jeff and Jerry Jarrett in 2002 in Nashville, promotion was initially NWA Total Nonstop Action. They did what you want to do, and they got the NWA title.
Yeah. By the way, GoFundMe.
NWA was lobbying like nothing between the years of when Vince bought everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
he should have just bought the NWA.
And TNA, he couldn't. There's some reason the NWA couldn't be purchased. It was like
in limbo. It was
I think he tried. Something to do with the fact that like there's so many owners of the NWA. Because being a territory system, he couldn't. I read somewhere that he has access to like most of the tape, like the library.
He does have a lot of and the library.
He has
down there.
Some say in that title too. It's weird. Somebody there's
I did not know he had seen.
There was a
Vince. There was I want to be your next NWA champion. If you think I would be a good NWA
champion,
I don't
know if it's like please, Matt anymore. Now I'm gonna look. I remember reading about it a lot because he watched a whole documentary on it.
To
that
my
I was Googling.
GoFundMe.
I think it's
you can find
point,
the link to that at Trebuchet LOL.
I'm looking it up. I'm curious. Every time I do it, I always end up seeing the band. I always end up seeing Straight Outta Compton when I look for the NWA title.
That's funny. no, I was on an episode of Jim Crown Experience. There was a guy that used to work heavily. Like, he used to book the latter days of the NWA.
Yeah.
And somehow, Vince got like a chunk of like say in the company. And I don't even know if he... First of all, I don't know that this guy is necessarily trustworthy. Like maybe he misunderstood the contract.
Yeah. Okay.
But because of part of this contract, Vince had some kind of control of part of the NWA. Huh. Where the NWA... he could show the NWA title on his TV as much as he wanted.
Okay.
Even though he wasn't part of it.
Yeah.
Either this guy is incorrect or Vince doesn't even know he has it.
I believe that.
But it was some kind of deal where, yeah.
Well, because, like, I watch a lot of old, like, stuff on the WWE Network, and they show all that footage of Ric Flair holding up the NWA title all the time.
And so in 1998...
Turned into a history of the NWA?
Very quick history of the NWA. Well, apparently we've gone too loose. We need to go a little far back with TNA management. We were like, oh, we just overshot.
Yeah,
being the next NWA champion, yeah, learning the origins of the NWA champion.
Well, you see, there's this guy named Ed the Strangler Lewis.
that's the video we were watching when I looked at it last time. The NWA title was trying to get in the national spotlight, and Vincent K. McMahon made a deal to have it be on television in 1998.
Yeah.
The part of Cornettsville Stable. So they had like a little thing where they could show it.
So something to do with that deal, because Cornette was still working with, Smoky Mountain, I think.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Smoky Mountain was part of the NWA. Jim Cornette came to WWF. He brought the Heavenly Bodies over to feud with the Steiners.
Mm-hmm.
Jim came in to manage Yokozuna.
Yeah.
So it was like their first dabbling in the NWA. And then later on, something happened, where Vince, it was a weird contract thing. But if the NWA keeps getting bigger, I wonder if we'll ever see that come up, this weird contract thing that...
Yeah,
I'll have to show you guys that interview I heard.
Send that out to us.
Yeah, because he all that stuff. Here's the interesting one. Part of Cornette's NWA stable back then was NWA North American Champion Jeff Jarrett, who won the vacated title by defeating Barry Windham on Raw. So, wonder where this is going. Cut to 2002, Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Jarrett formed NWA TNA. They worked out a licensing deal with NWA and affiliated the promotion with the NWA World Heavyweight and Tag Team titles.
Yeah.
They also added the X Division title there, which is also built under the NWA name.
Right.
While working on a cable deal, they were putting on weekly pay-per-views.
Yes, we were talking about the format. Yeah, they would put pay-per-views.
Because they didn't have a TV deal.
They didn't have a TV deal.
Now back to the TNA article. Yes. Go ahead.
They didn't have a TV deal. And they were... were they running out of the asylum at that point?
Let me look.
Because they basically took this fairgrounds in Kentucky.
I don't think they were there yet.
There's this fairgrounds. Was it Kentucky? I forget where the fairgrounds
was. I want to say it was in Nashville.
You're right. Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah. That makes perfect sense because that's where their home base was located.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically take this fairgrounds. It was getting very little use. And they say, well, we're going to run weekly pay-per-views out of here. And they're like, oh, cool. I think the guy went way back with like, Jeff Jarrett. They knew each other pretty well. He's like, oh, by the way, I need the entire thing painted black in a week.
Oh, my God. Because
it looked like a hacky old fairground building. It was nice and bright and colorful. And they're like,
we need it to be black.
Right, yeah. We need it to look cool.
Here's something interesting. The Jarretts found financial backing they needed for the company and put on its first show June 19th, 2002. That night, however, in a dark match right before their pre-show match, this is fun. A 450-pound wrestler named Cheeks hit the ropes with so much force that one of them broke, and it had to take them an hour to fix it, so they had to do they pretty much took all their non-wrestling content for the whole show and just front-loaded it, so they get the time to fix the thing.
Yeah, you got guys brawling backstage.
Because it was a live pay-per-view, so they couldn't...
Yeah.
It's not like they go, all right, we're just going to hold the taping back.
Yeah, exactly. No,
they had to go live, so it's awesome.
They should have taken that as like a harbinger of things to come.
But the company was formed because WCW just went out of business.
I kind of skimmed over that part. But yeah, they had a conversation. WCW was going out of business. Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Jarrett, and Bob Ryder had a fishing trip, and they discussed what to do because they didn't want to, like,
get into WWE. Because there was only WWE.
Yeah, and they knew for a fact Jeff Jarrett was not going back to WWF. Yeah. He was not welcome.
Nope.
In fact, the speech Vince gives where he buys the company, he mentions Jeff Jarrett, and, like, he fires Jeff Jarrett on the air.
Yeah.
And he's like, well... Like, well, I,
you know Vince loved that. You know,
yeah, no, Vince.
Like, he's like, I'm going out there.
It was a waist up shot. Yeah. And you could tell Vince wasn't even wearing pants.
That's hilarious.
They're like, because they brought like the Harris brothers in right away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they were in WCW. And they knew they weren't going
to the ring crew. Yeah, they actually helped the ring crew reassemble the ring that night. I mean,
most wrestlers know how to do that. Yeah, in wrestling school, you learn how.
You do your own ring.
Put another chair down the ring.
Mm-hmm. So then in 2002, Panda Energy. Is this like a part of like her family's thing? I don't think she's involved yet. Panda Energy purchased a controlling interest in TNA in October of 2002. So they were only around for like 4 months.
No, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
Panda Energy.
I remember her family being in energy.
No, the Carters bought in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been the Carters company, but I don't think it was.
It is, yep.
Okay, because.
They bought it real early then.
Dixie, it's not even really Dixie's money. Like, Dixie's parents are loaded. Yeah,
Dixie's parents are so loaded that their company gets bought.
She's an heiress. Like, that's... Yeah. Dixie Curtis is...
See, if you were an heiress, you could buy the NWA title right now, but you aren't an heiress. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You are
an... I thought I was.
The Paris Hilton of TNA, like that's funny. I thought Paris Hilton was the Paris Hilton of TNA, but regardless.
Yeah, TNA. By the way, they were always like they coined the name Total Nonstop Action to be a play on tits and ass to get people who you click at pay per view.
Hey, guess whose idea that was?
Vince Russo's.
Oh, ding ding ding! We have a winner.
Yep, boom.
Yeah.
Yep, you got that.
Yeah, Vince Russo was in the company from the beginning.
Yep, July 2002.
He's also not coming back to WWE.
Yeah, well, he and Jarrett have also just always gone way back.
Yeah.
And people are like, why does Jarrett love Russo so much? Like, Russo's the only person that ever booked Jarrett in a winning position.
Yeah.
Main event all the time. Who do you use? There's
in that Death of WCW DVD WD put out, someone talks about, like, they mentioned Jeff Jarrett there, and they're like, he's a hillbilly that never drew a dime. Like, he spent more money in the industry. Spent more money in the industry breaking those guitars than he ever drew. And the only reason he did well in WCW is because Vince Russo was fascinated with him. And the only reason Jeff Jarrett hired Vince Russo is because Vince Russo don't ever put him over.
Yeah, no, I've seen that.
Yeah, they're mutually...
Yeah, they
jerking each other off.
Yeah,
not really.
That sounds like what Cornette would say.
Okay.
Continuing on. Having fun yet? It's about to get worse.
Oh, yeah. Initially, their weekly pay-per-view shows operated as the company main source of revenue in place of monthly pay-per-view events used by other promotions. These shows took place mostly at the TNA Asylum.
Okay.
You're right. After 27 months and 111 pay-per-views, TNA began holding a weekly television show and monthly 3-hour pay-per-views. The last weekly pay-per-view took place on September 8th, 2004. Explosion. Explosion launched on November 27th, 2002 as their first regular cable show. So they were running weekly pay-per-views and a cable show at the same time?
Impact became a show and Explosion became a show. Explosion was like a recap thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
Think Sunday Night Heat when you think Explosion.
Got you. I got you now. I got you. Yep. Okay.
But Yeah, they stopped doing the...
With interviews and stuff, yep.
Yeah, they stopped doing the weekly pay-per-views. Is that when they moved to the Impact Zone there?
I want to think so. I'm reading right now. November 8th, 2004, the show became a recap show of the previous week, Impact. Well, yeah, that makes sense. The blah, 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 blah.
Chris Goad reading his phone.
This is when they moved to Universal Studios, Florida. Exactly. May 2004, they interviewed Impact.
Impact Zone used to be one of my favorite looking venues.
The tunnels! The
double tunnels!
Hashtag bring back tunnels!
I always liked the Impact Zone too. I mean, that's why I started getting into wrestling more when I started watching TNA. So, like, I was always a big fan of that.
That
era intimate.
We've talked about this too. Six-sided
that ring. Era of TNA just felt so different from what WWE was presenting at the time. The product at the time was not good.
No. They had gotten complacent because they were the only game in
exactly,
town.
Exactly.
They had everybody.
This was in the days of 25-minute Triple H promos. Like
basically, they didn't have the direct competition, so they weren't definitely not trying as hard. Yeah. It wasn't as.
I think it looked worse too because people were so used to Vince
the bar was
fighting
so
to constantly be number one. Like, oh, I'm number one now. Like, I think it was a stark contrast to what they'd seen 2 years before that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And TNA, it had an underground feel to it.
It did. I think Jeff Hardy was part of the early years of that.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy was part of the early years.
Remember him jumping off of everything?
Yeah,
AJ Styles.
I think he was starting to have personal problems at that point.
Yeah.
And then, the TNA picked him up. Styles was there. Styles was in the latter days of WCW.
Yep.
He went there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Daniels was there.
Daniels was there.
Joe hadn't been there. Joe wasn't there yet. Joe was a later start. Because Joe came up in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
CM Punk was in the early days of TNA. He wrestled in Ring of Honor, and then he went to TNA. I think he went back to Ring of Honor. We had most of his main event stuff.
He was just huge over there.
Yeah, because he was. I want to say he was like just part of like a faction. Like
he wasn't the main guy.
Was he with Raven? Raven was a big part of early TNA.
He was. I don't know.
With the old clockwork orange death match.
That thing was crazy.
What?
it was a clockwork orange death match. The rules for it were weird.
I don't even remember what they were.
How in line is it with the movie?
I don't think it didn't have to do with the movie. Raven's character had something to do with the movie.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
He was trying to be like a sociopath or something.
Okay, yeah.
So he would he like
Raven is always about like crossing lines and controversial.
Yeah, well, then they had the Monster's Ball match.
Monster's Ball
match. Where they locked the guys up for 24 hours, and then it was a no DQ match.
Yeah, that was awesome. They had a couple scaffolding matches, which made me really anxious. Well,
they did scaffolding matches, and then they turned that into Ultimate X matches.
Yeah, it was like scaffolding. They were really good.
There was like ropes that you had to like shimmy on.
Exactly.
The X Division was super, like.
This was on fire.
This was also when WWE was like Land of the Giants.
Yeah,
if you were under 6'3" and your name wasn't Shawn Michaels, you weren't. Oh, you didn't do anything.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So if you were small, the only place you'd go was the X Division.
Yep.
And you had Low Key there.
Yeah.
Saban and I don't think Shelly was there.
Shelly wasn't there yet. Saban was there for a while.
Frankie Kazarian.
Kaz. Yeah.
Matt Bentley, who is actually Shawn Michaels' nephew.
Shark Boy. It was pretty stacked, actually. Yeah. AJ was in the X Division.
AJ was like the star of the X Division. Yeah. He and Daniels had some great matches.
They still show that footage of him in Ultimate X just almost dying. Like, you know what I mean? Like that bump. I'm just like, I swear to God, he's not gonna flip.
Yeah. How is he not? How
paralyzed.
Is he not dead?
Yeah.
TNA did a good job of bringing in old WWE guys that still had some going power to them.
Yep.
And new guys. So you would have Ron the Truth Killings, R-Truth, was there. He had been in WWE for a minute as K-Quick and no one remembered him.
I did. He was on that album, the Music Volume 5 or whatever. He was rapping. Well,
Trebuchet remembers him.
Him and the Road Dogg were running buddies. I remember that guy.
They had the three live crew. It was BG James, so his Road Dog.
Yep.
Ron the Truth Killings and
Billy Gunn.
Conan.
Conan!
Because Billy Gunn joined later, and that was what
broke him up.
He came as Kip James, and that he was like,
Not Kip James, bitch! That was his calling thing right there. Then he joined the Beautiful People, and the Beautiful People got rid of him. And
No, because I remember, that was right when I started watching TNA. It was like the Three Live Crew had just broken up.
Three Live Crew was good. Because
Conan turned heel and formed LAX at that point.
Yeah. LAX was Homicide and Hernandez?
It wasn't even Hernandez yet. Hernandez wasn't there. It was Homicide and somebody else, and I don't even remember.
Okay, but Hernandez
didn't come in until a few years later.
Love those guys.
Because remember, they had a feud with Styles and Daniels, where a tag team for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I remember they had great matches.
Yeah, they did.
Because I remember one of the lines that just stuck out with me as a kid was Styles and Daniels are on the Titantron talking about, and I think Hernandez might have been talking to the team at this point. Mm-hmm. They're talking to LAX, and they're like, you know, this match, they talk about wrestling. This match isn't going to end with a 1-2-3. Daniels goes, it's going to end with a 1-8-7.
Oh,
bitch.
Yeah. That was great.
And it was just like, wow.
That's a line. That's a line. That's fucking just, that's the highlight of your career right there. You're never going to say anything better.
So the product felt different. Yeah. It had, because WWE was really underutilizing the cruiserweights at this point, and TNA was like, oh, you like that? Well, you're going to love it. I think.
We're going to showcase it.
I think London and Spanky were on there. I don't think they were prominently featured, but all those little guys came through for a minute.
They did
a great job of showing off like foreign talent. They had like those World X Cups.
Yep.
Where they just bring in a bunch of luchadors, some guys from Japan.
The IWGP stuff. Yep. Like, oh yeah, they did a lot of cross-promotion.
Which was in their best in their best interest at the time. Right now it reeks of desperation because they don't have their own roster.
Right, the Lucha Underground is everywhere. Like, their champion's Pentagon right now.
Yeah, we'll get to their current thing. Do you remember Team Canada?
I do remember. Yeah. Eric Young.
Eric Young.
Bobby Roode.
Yep.
A1. A1.
Who's completely forget it. If you ask me what A1 looked like, I don't know that I can
tell
you.
Steak sauce.
He was like a big dude. That's all I remember.
Yeah, and then Scott
DeMore, who's currently like executive vice president of the company.
Yeah, but no, he was good on the mic. He made me hate
him. He was like their manager. I feel like there was another member. I can't for the life of me remember, though.
I think there was four of them, too, but I don't.
We had America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
James Storm and Chris Harris. They were a great tag team.
Couple of cowboys. Did the Dudleys come?
The Dudleys were much later.
The Dudleys came right as the NWA broke off.
Yeah, I remember when they premiered.
In fact, I think... I'm trying to remember who the world champion was. I think it might have been Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle or Sting? No, Jeff Shred's a good guess. It was either Kurt Angle or Sting, and the Dudleys were the tag champs. I forget who the X Division champ was. But when the NWA broke away, they stripped everybody of the NWA titles and awarded them the TNA titles.
Okay. Yeah, that's coming up. So the first year of Impact, 2004, 2005, was on Fox Sports.
Yeah.
I didn't know. This is the only thing that's not surprised me.
Same here. I struggled to find it. I'm like, Jeff Hardy is on TV right now.
I don't think Fox Sports was a pretty common channel.
No, there was no Fox Sports 1. It was on this channel. Yeah. Fox Sports Detroit.
I think I was watching a baseball game and it came on. I was like, what is this?
And back then with Fox Sports, and it still is kind of the state now. They're a little bit better with Fox Sports 1 and having like a little more organization, but the local Fox Sports affiliate got to decide when it was on, pretty much, because they were scheduling their local sports games.
I couldn't find it. I looked.
Prime time one time, and then I would go back and like, it's not on. Like, it's at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it was back in the day before guides were on TV. If you didn't know... How are you going to find it?
Buy
a TV guide and hope it's right, really.
Yeah, even those weren't right.
Go on the internet and hope Yahoo TV was right or something.
If you want to ever see like a miserable blind person, tell them to read old TV guide. That's like size 4 Fox.
I know. I remember those. Yeah.
I tried one time and I was like, I hate everything.
Throw it.
It made me not want to watch TV.
So they like used like Fox's like style, like football, like promoter, like, oh, this is a Fox box for keeping track of time. Like, yeah, like a kind of Fox related promotion going on with that. But then the contract ended in May 2005. It wasn't renegotiated, so they had nowhere to show Impact. So they were making it officially available through BitTorrent.
You know, so I ran through that. That was my favorite. Officially available through BitTorrent.
Like, I did nothing. I don't think of any other thing I ever heard of that was officially available through BitTorrent.
I was like, can you even use those words in the same sentence?
Is that legal?
Officially
This should, nothing's ever been. BitTorrent should have said no.
No, no, no. It's the one thing. You get in trouble, get a letter in the mail from BitTorrent or something illegally, be like, I thought it was legitimate.
Yeah, you're like,
impact on it.
That's the best argument ever.
BitTorrent was like, we don't do straight business. Like, we don't do legit. Like, BitTorrent has gone legit. Now showing.
It'd be like being a straight pharmacy that's on like the dark web.
Yeah. Why does everybody ask for meth? Like,
yeah.
Everybody's really mad we won't buy so much of Sudafed. Like we follow the laws. Why is everybody mad?
Then they moved to Real Player, so they had like a legit piece of software to run their thing on.
They had an app?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like a program you'd be able to play video files on. And then,
if anybody would appreciate that, it's you.
Yep. Urban America Television is where they went next, and I'd never heard of it until now.
I thought UPN closed down.
It wasn't even UPN. It's like literally.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's a joke based on the products title. UPN was often putting out.
Yeah.
There was lots of the Bernie Mac show.
Oh, yes.
How you living?
So. That went on. This is all in a 4-month span. All that stuff happened, and then they got a deal with Spike finally on October 1st, 2005. So they were in limbo doing all that stuff.
And God
for
bless.
4 or 5
Spike
months.
Was really starting to get. Spike had just lost
Raw.
Raw.
Yeah.
They were
on fire. They were on top of the world, and then they faded into obscurity. And I don't even know if they're a thing anymore.
No, they're Paramount Network now. I just was like, what the fuck is this Paramount number? Oh, it's in the same place Spike used to be. Because it wasn't even Spike at that time.
Viacom owned it. And I think I don't know what they did with it, but yeah, Spike had Raw.
They had a lot of good content.
It's funny that we think it's good content, because Spike was marketed as the, like, anti-PC, alpha male network.
Pretty much where...
With drinking, smoking, fighting, and hot women.
Yes. Now we're feminists hanging out.
Yeah, they would make kind of misogynistic jokes. Like, it was...
Yeah, it was
in retrospect, it was kind of cringy. But yeah, they lost. Raw was like their biggest go-getter. And then Raw moved back to USA.
Yeah.
In fact, famously, they like censored the shit out of that episode where they kept talking about going to USA.
Oh, really?
Spike was like, no, no. So like, I think the last episode they had before they went to Raw, or going back to USA, they said the word USA something like 60 times that night. They're just like, you can't censor the whole episode.
Right, okay. Gotcha.
And then, yeah, Spike wanted to fill the hole, so it was Thursday night, it aired for the first time, and then it was on Saturday on the replay.
Yep.
Spike was... What else were they playing at that time? Cops, yeah.
And Mansers.
Cops?
Mansers. They love the Mansers. Wasn't that
Thousand Ways to Die show?
Thousand Ways to Die was on there.
They had that weird cartoon with Pam Anderson...
They had that. They had a rerun of some other stuff, too.
There was always some sort of redneck reality show on
I remember
there,
when
like...
they started showing The Man Show.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
Ink Master.
My dad got really pissed at me one time because...
Girls on Trampolines?
Impact had just ended and The Man Show came on.
Yeah.
And it had been on for like 3 minutes. I wasn't paying attention. My dad comes out and he's like, are you watching The Man Show? And I was like, It was the same thing, because Spike used to show, like, they used to have, like, the long, like, whole break, like, 6-minute long Girls Gone Wild promo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
the full one. That's what they were high on the floor.
Yeah, no, wasn't a
case. They were known for the infomercial version of the Girls Gone Wild.
This was, like, an entire commercial break was just a Girls Gone Wild. It would never fail. Someone would walk in the room, I was like, it's wrestling, just... The computer's right there. I don't need this.
Yeah.
I'm not shutting it off, but
are you asking me if I'm enjoying it?
I'm familiar with the commercial.
I'm not. I didn't tune in for this.
Exactly.
Oh man.
All right, what else we got here, Chris?
Okay, I'm in, like, a different article right now.
No, he's just fucking...
He typed in Girls Gone Wild.
He typed in T and A.
For what it's worth, you look like you'd be, like, a... Joe looks like he'd be a guy that's hosting a Girls Gone Wild
special.
You
do. Yeah, when's that coming?
As soon as I win the NWA title, guys.
Oh, boy.
Please donate to Trebuchet.
Oh, wow, okay. I get it.
Oh, no.
Check it out, everybody. Double J.
This whole episode is going to be behind the paywall. I swear to God.
Shut up. I'm pitching my belt here. Okay. Double J, AJ, Trebuchet. Now that sounds good together.
That's the best one of those.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I'm like, I wrote this. shut up a minute.
And it's like, he was literally sitting at the bar for 2 hours and just like, ugh, I need a bumper for this.
Yeah, the first pay-per-view ever in the long format was Victory Road, November 2004. I didn't see it.
It must have been when I think they crowned the NWA title there, where Jeff Jarrett won it in a King of the Mountain match.
Yep, he hung the title up.
Yeah, because I think that had
how you won it.
I want to say it had Jeff Hardy in it, Monty Brown was in it, yeah. The Alpha Male.
Yeah, Pounce.
He's from the area.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
loved his finishing move. I enjoyed the Pounce.
They billed him as from Detroit, but yeah, he had family like in Grand Rapids. In fact, he left WWE kind of unceremoniously. I guess someone in the family died, and he's like, oh. Taking care of kids now. Mm. Like, just see you WWE, because I knew a couple people that knew him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, family man. He's a good guy. But yeah, I love that. No, that move was great.
Yeah, dude.
The Pounce!
Loved it. He just ran people over, man.
Then in 2000, they were on Spike. A year into being on Spike, they started doing select pay-per-views outside of the Impact Zone with this Bound for Glory. October 22nd, 2006, from where? Detroit. You didn't know.
Yeah, it was in the Cobalt, wasn't it?
No, it was at... was it?
I think it was... They
CompuAir Sports Arena in Plymouth, Michigan.
Probably smaller than the Cobalt then.
It was the USA Hockey's practice ring.
Okay. Which, I was going to say, there's no way... I was like,
it only holds 3,000
people. I was like, you're not telling me TNA ran the Joe Louis Arena. That didn't happen.
No.
Someone is lying to you on Wikipedia.
Live from Detroit, Michigan, but it was then in Detroit, in Plymouth. In 2006, they started doing stuff on YouTube with exclusive video content in exchange for hosting some other stuff and getting some kickbacks in that regard.
This is about when Sting came in.
Yep.
Christian Cage already worked. Christian left WWE.
He was the NWA champion, yeah, TNA champion.
I think he was the one that knocked Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett had a super fucking long reign.
Oh yeah.
I think Monty Brown won it off Jarrett, and then Jarrett won it back and held it forever. And then I think Christian beat him he might have held it for a year.
Yeah, Christian held it for a while.
No, Jarrett might have held it for a year. Oh, and then Christian did hold it for a while too, but I think Christian beat Jarrett was undefeated for a while.
Yeah.
Jarrett was dead, so Triple H was definitely burying people on Raw, and people were definitely drawing comparisons to what Jarrett was doing on.
He was, dude. He was burying everybody.
He was
unbeatable. It sucked. I'm like, the rest of the card was good, Jarrett, the main event was Jarrett's gonna hit somebody or screw somebody.
Yeah, Jarrett had a team. I think Monty Brown was part of his unit. I forget, a couple other people powdered with Jarrett, and then he also had to help with Team Canada Team Canada helped out Jarrett for some reason.
Yeah.
So. Oh, he used to call his finisher the Stroke. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had Stroke in the company.
I'm glad they don't do that as much as they used to. NWA, Triple H.
In the age of the internet, it's really easy to see through that stuff. They know they can't get away with it anymore. People know who's in charge of what.
Yeah.
So you can't put yourself over and have no one know anymore.
Right.
Those days are long over. Yeah. You know, back in the day, Nash could book himself winning because no one really knew. No, except for the major fans knew Nash was booking.
Yeah.
But now everyone's an internet fan now, so everyone knows that stuff.
Yep.
Just can't get away with it.
Okay, so then they also launched, I never heard of this before, TNA UTV, which is podcasts on YouTube, and then they were trying to promote that somehow, I guess, as well. Then Impact expanded to 2 hours in 2007.
I remember that. That was a big deal.
They went to HD in 2008.
Tell us the story.
Yeah. I love this particular episode of Impact Wrestling. It was in Las Vegas. The beautiful people were very burlesqued out.
This
was very vivid. It's my most pro wrestling story ever. I was in my parents' basement watching it. And it was a wonderful time. It's in HD. This is big time wrestling right here. And I want to say Hulk Hogan was the guy, the general manager in charge right now, or was it?
I don't think that had happened yet.
No, I don't think it was Hogan, but I definitely remember the Las Vegas, Nevada stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't think Hogan and Bischoff had come in yet.
No, it's coming up.
It was very titillating, say the least.
Yeah, the beautiful people were something.
Oh yeah,
it's also worth noting that TNA was the first company to really put women's wrestling in the
women's wrestling in TNA has been the best wrestling.
Although it was a bit misogynistic, and although it was a bit a little over the top in that regard, it was good. It was more highlighted than WWE.
Were also better matches.
Better technical ability.
Gail Kim, awesome. Gail Kim,
Gail Kim left WWE. She came into TNA and she was really just knocking off the beautiful people every week because there's really nothing more going on.
Yeah.
And they brought in Amazing Kong. She was known in the indies and she became Awesome Kong. You're like, it was a stark comparison because Gail Kim's always been tiny.
Oh, yeah.
And Awesome Kong was just towering over her. Mm-hmm.
And they put on some good matches.
Some great matches, and they would bring in I think cheerleader Melissa worked there for a while. She was a pretty well-known indie female wrestler at the time. Mm. The beautiful people were there. None of them were amazing, but they definitely got better. Oh, their early stuff was abysmal.
Madison
Rain ended up with that.
Lacey Von Erich, anybody? She was miserable in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Easy on the eyes, though.
Oh, yeah, no. She was built like a mod. Like, I don't know that anybody built like her could be a good wrestler.
Right.
She's all legs. Like, I don't know how you wrestle. Like, Stacy Keeler wasn't good either. Like, it just doesn't seem... I don't know how you could ever work a good wrestling match when your proportions are like that. I don't know how your kicks would be weird and you can't grapple right because your center of gravity is different.
Totally. But, okay. Then, it's in 2010, TNA hired Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff.
Okay.
So we're skipping over Kurt Angle coming. Kurt Angle coming.
They did not mention that, but I do remember that happening when I started watching it.
Huge drop.
Kurt Angle was a huge deal. Sting was a huge deal.
Yeah.
We are now to the time where you started coming. When the only time I didn't see you until 2009, but I remember you coming to me and be like this, and like because you were like trying to show me like WWE stuff, but then you're like no. This instead.
Yeah, I was an Impact disciple for a while there. Like I was just all like, this is the best wrestling on TV.
Because at this point, Joe had come in and had that winning streak, and they had
Joe was undefeated.
Yeah, he had the
Joe was undefeated. They had Abyss was doing a bunch of hardcore stuff.
They had that Unbreakable match, Styles, Joe, Daniels, which one of the best matches of all time.
Yeah.
They had just come up because Shelley was doing a weird thing with Nash for a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't.
They said Nash had booked one of the best deals ever in wrestling. He was making high six figures and he only wrestled one time his entire contract.
Wow,
damn.
Like he was working dates, but like he would only talk. Like he only wrestled one time and he was high six figures. because Nash had left WWE not long after he. He had just gotten off of a bicep injury, I think. And then his first match back with the NWO just blows his quad.
Yeah.
Was his quad or he's something in his leg.
Yeah.
Because you can see it was because the NWO was already fizzling out in WWE. Yeah. And Nash had just come back off injury. And you can see him like fall in the ring and like have to hit a tag immediately.
Yeah.
And they're dragging him to the back.
He even battled like a staph infection in Impact on TNA for a minute.
He's been very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because he came to WWE again after that and he was supposed to have that thing with CM Punk and then they couldn't do that because he was hurt and he's getting paid for all of it. Like, Nash might be the best politician in
he knows how to get paid. In like, industry. No, I will never argue with that. I'm like, would you want to do business with Kevin Nash? No, he's going to fucking take me for everything I have.
Steiner was there at this point. Mm-hmm.
Steiner's there now.
Yeah. WWE won't touch Steiner. Like, yeah. Steiner is too good to work most indie dates in his mind, but also... WWE will not touch him. He left a lot of bad impressions when he was there for a short time in WWE on Raw.
I feel like Scott Steiner is his own worst enemy.
Yeah, well, he and Hogan would get into it.
Yeah, well, then wouldn't that there's that whole Hall of Fame thing where
he's like banned from all WWE everything now.
Yeah,
because Hulk Hogan was supposed to be at the Hall of Fame and he had been having words with Steiner, and Steiner threatened both Hulk Hogan and his wife. I think it was even his ex-wife at the time. I don't even know why he's dragging her into it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill both you and your wife, and they're like, alright, so, like, if you see Scott Steiner at the Hall of Fame, call the police, because...
Right, yeah, because...
So he's like, yeah, they don't let him do anything anymore. Blacklisting. So TNA is the only place he can really work.
Yeah.
But he's had a pretty crazy career. Like, it's weird to think Scott Steiner seemed, like, pretty, like, reasonable when he was, like, with, you know, his brother, and then he...
For Scott Steiner is a former world champion. Like, yeah, he was the WCW champion.
He dyed his hair blonde and lost his mind.
He really did. Like, I swear, I specifically remember... When he came back, I'm like, holy shit, he's jacked as fuck now.
Yeah, he's got the biceps on his biceps.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, holy shit, this guy is a fucking... Like, they call him the genetic freak because that's what he fucking looked like.
Yeah, it turns out it wasn't genetics, though.
Yeah.
Never good on the mic. Scott Steiner just...
Here's the thing. Scott Steiner is not good in a traditional sense on the mic, but he's got so much meme value.
He's entertaining. Yeah, like, it's like a Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley's not really good on the mic, but like...
That is a fantastic comparison. he is a Charles Barkley on the mic. You're not going to him for coherent sentences or useful information, but you really want to hear him say, terrible.
All right, I'm gonna let you have that one. So, a point for you, Chad.
Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff. Now we can, get in on it.
So at this point, I remember
this happening.
It was the new Monday Night Wars.
They brought it back. Move it to Monday.
Hogan and Bischoff come in, soaking the company for everything.
Yeah.
Russo had still been there at this point. Because there was that. Because right about. So Hogan and Bischoff weren't even there yet. I think it was about 2006, 2007, the product had a steep decline.
Yes. Yeah.
Where they started doing all gimmick matches. Did you remember the last rights match?
What? Refresh my memory. I remember
Sting versus Abyss. Okay. It's a casket match.
Uh-huh.
But then the casket rises above the ring.
Uh-huh.
I think it was the first time we ever heard a Fire Russo chant.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
At this point, Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett are running the company pretty much side by side.
Uh-huh.
Jim Cornette, I believe, had been... No, Jim Cornette was still there. So the way... Because we're talking about the leadership. So Vince Russo was on booking. He was booking the storylines and the segments.
Uh-huh.
Jim Cornette was like head... agent, and he was helping book the matches. And Vince Russo refused to book a match.
Oh,
he did not. He didn't know how matches worked, so he would not make one.
Right.
He said, well, that's the agent's job. So there's a bunch of disconnect with... He'd go to Hernandez and go, hey, so this is your match. And he goes, but the story is I'm supposed to be doing this. And he goes... They couldn't get it clear.
Yeah, like, you need to have that. That communication, otherwise it's a mess.
Well, it
like,
was communication, the fact that someone's trying to... Vince Russo's trying to tell a story, mm-hmm. and goes, and then do this in the match, you know, get the match done in 3 minutes. It's like, Jim is like, I can't do that. Like, you can't tell this story...
In 3 minutes.
In the way you're telling it. Vince and Jim do not get along well. Mm-mm. About this point, because Jarrett went home. Jeff Jarrett resigned because he was sleeping with Kurt Angle's wife.
Oh, shit.
Because
that happens in pro wrestling.
Well, yeah, well, because Kurt had signed and Karen Angle was coming around all the time.
Yep.
And then... Kurt kind of lost his marbles. Kurt was dealing with a lot of stuff in TNA. So Kurt took like a small. I think he took like a small break. I think he was like on probation or something. He had like a lot of DUIs. So they were giving him. I think he was taking a little time off. And then, they would hit the web that Jeff Jarrett, who had kind of been like the voice of reason between the Vince Russos and the Jim Cornettes, and the Dutch Mantels, the classic wrestling guys, and Vince Russo, and the newer. The other stuff.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett was kind of bridging that gap.
Right. And then he left.
And they basically said Dixie. I think Dixie, who owned a majority at this point,
She has the majority. She said, the whole period.
Wasn't that he was fired, but he had to be away from the company.
Yeah.
He was still he still owned part of the company, but he had no creative influence whatsoever. I think the boys were pretty much done with him at that point. They were like,
yeah, you know,
Kurt Angle was very much the leader of that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, you're sleeping with Kurt Angle's like that. So Jeff Jarrett went away.
Dirty pool, Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett got away, went away. And Vince Russo started getting into Dixie Carter's ear. And she really, that was when the match quality went down. The storylines got way crazier.
Yeah.
Someone timed a 2-hour episode of Impact and came up with like 11 minutes of in-ring action one time.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, they like timed it. And I remember because Cornette, so they fired Dutch Mantel, who was basically right under Jim Cornette. So he's gone. I think they got rid of Savio Vega, too, who was working there at the time as an agent.
Oh, I did not know that.
And then, I think Savio and Jared go way back.
I believe that.
And then, basically, they got rid of, and then, Cornette, I think think he threatened. He did something where he was told he was not coming back. Mm. But they like agreed to it mutually, and then they the TNA posted like a story about how like Jim Cornette fired for unprofessional behavior, and Jim was like, I agreed, I leave. Like, we came, this was mutual.
So Dixie
was like, what do you want? And he's like, I'd like a retraction if you could.
Because
Terry Taylor was working there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like Terry Taylor and Vince Russo were basically, Vince was basically getting Terry Taylor to do what he wanted and basically got Dixie Carter to give him the money. And Vince was greatly blamed for the downfall of that product.
Yeah.
Because Dixie didn't know what she was doing. She basically let Vince Russo make all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not a good
book. WCW Part
2. No, that was people called it. It was called WCW Part 2. It was...
It resembled it very much.
We had the Dr. Stevie Richards comes in as Abyss's therapist.
Yeah.
This is where we started seeing guys come in from WWE guys that had no business wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
So we had Tess came in for two matches. Actually, no, it was only one match. He came in for a run in on Impact as a mystery partner as the Punisher Andrew Martin. Putting aside that they probably can't use that, like I feel like that's probably intellectual property violation. Yeah, like maybe. I don't think you can call him the Punisher.
Right.
He wrestled the pay-per-view, and they just told him not to come back. Like, they were disappointed how he performed, told him not to come back. Rikishi was there for a month.
He looked so bad.
Junior Fatu.
So bad, man. Oh, man.
That wasn't good. They started also, like, mimicking, like, WWE. WWE product was really bad. This was, like, the new DX where it was all lowbrow, you know, Vince likes cock humor.
Yeah.
And then WWE TNA started, like, mimicking it.
Yeah.
Like, rather than like setting themselves apart, they like would make fun of it. So like WWE was sending out Big Dick Johnson, the fat dude in the phone.
You would grind on everybody.
Yeah. So they would send him out, and so TNA would be like, oh, we're not that. They did the same thing to make fun of all the men. Like I'm seeing a fat guy in a thong. Like, I don't want to watch a parody of this. I just don't want to watch it.
The thing that made the company great was that it was different, and now you're just mimicking the other one. Like, come on, just bad business. But the new Monday Night Wars. Last very short amount of time.
Yeah, so
they're
starting to go downhill. I believe Vince Russo goes home, and Eric Bischoff gets hired and brings in Hulk Hogan as a consultant.
Yeah.
They're also on air talent, but Eric Bischoff is like head of creative at this point.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan is like his consultant, and they're both on air talent.
Mm-hmm.
That night they bring in RVD.
Fucking show. I love that music.
Yeah, it was good music. Mr. Anderson was already there at that point.
He was there, yeah.
I liked his TNA run a lot, though.
I liked his TNA run a lot, too.
That's how me and you
I showed up at a karaoke night one time wearing the Mr. Anderson Pro Wrestling is Real, People Are Fake shirt.
Yes.
And I walked up to Joe, and, people laugh at that shirt. Like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is a funny thing. So he goes, Triple H is like, oh, that shirt. And I was like, yeah, I know. And he goes, no, I have that shirt.
Yeah, I have two of them.
It's kind of obscure. Like, not a lot of people watch TNA. So it's an obscure thing to just have. And he's like, I have two of that shirts. Like, oh, this guy must be like a real fan. Like,
I was buying those TNA grab bags like crazy that Don West was selling. Let me tell you guys.
You love that. Oh, we're talking about TNA.
Happy Mother's Day, D. Thanks for putting up with us.
Yep.
I love Mr. Anderson's run, but they brought in Jeff Hardy that night.
Yep.
Because he had WWE let him go again for having personal
issues,
meltdowns.
Yes.
Mick Foley came in there?
Foley was there for a minute. Foley actually won their title, I think.
He won the title again. Would he beat Ric Flair? I know he had like a match.
He beat Sting.
I know he had a match with Ric Flair where Ric Flair looked like he was about, like, yeah, half
those two,
dead.
Those two had great promos against each other.
They don't like you. They might be getting old. They have a lot of mutual respect, but they have a lot of history.
Yeah,
Flair famously called him a glorified stuntman in his book.
Well, Flair fined him back in the day for spitting on the WCW tag team title. When there's a lot of.
They don't like the truth. I remember the promo. But the being promo, money.
Like, the one I remember, Mick Foley and Ric Flair were face to face, and they both made themselves bleed as they were talking to each other. It was the craziest thing.
That
was big.
No, that was because Ric Flair had retired from WWE at this point and went to TNA, which a lot of people didn't love.
Yeah, because he retired.
Yeah, well, Ric Flair was also. TNA was like the place where wrestlers with personal problems go, because Ric Flair's having. Yeah. Personal problems there too.
Yeah.
His face is all beat. Ric Flair, like, his face would get blood red.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that guy's gonna have a. My mom would walk in the room and go, that man's gonna have a heart attack.
I swear.
Looks like that's scary. And I just remember that match with Foley where Ric Flair is bleeding half to death.
Yeah.
I was just like, he probably should have just retired. Like he. I hope he needs that money because this isn't nice to look at.
It's painful to watch. I know. I felt bad, but like the things those guys would say to each other, it was like somebody took like you know the chains off because in WWE they're both you know you're only allowed to say so much.
You were getting classic Mick promos where he was all fired up about it, and Ric Flair, you know, can...
Classic Ric Flair.
Yeah, Flair can talk anybody into the building.
Exactly, so that was awesome. That was awesome.
Did they bring anybody? Oh, they brought in the Nasty Boys.
I feel like Hogan's doing.
Hogan's was just like, oh, my buddy's the Nasty Boys. Yeah, they're not getting booked anywhere. I'll bring them in.
Yeah.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge. Bruce Pritchard, I believe, is his real name.
No. Bubba,
not the Love Sponge.
That's Brother Love.
Brother Love. Bubba the Love Sponge was
a radio host.
No, he's the one.
He's like a shock jock.
He's the one who stole Hogan's wife, I believe, is the way that it works.
Right?
Or was it the other way around? I know who you're talking about.
No, Bubba, Hogan slept with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
That's what it was.
She's on the sex tape.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, Hulk Hogan sex tape. Go ahead and Google that.
Yeah.
Hogan slept with Bubba's wife, but they think that there was Hogan alleged that Bubba and his wife set that up to sell the tape.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Instead of it falling out, Bubba the Love Sponge was always a skeez bag. He's a shock jock, huge misogynist. Awesome Kong knocked him out one time.
That's great. I love that.
She didn't actually choke him, but he said something racist to her backstage, and she knocked him out.
Good.
I think three claps
for Awesome Kong.
I think they were looking for a reason to get rid of her at that point, and so she ended up getting fired for that. She went to WWE and had that run that we'll have to talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
But,
okay, so we talked about the move into Monday. They did that, like, right at the beginning of 2010.
How many weeks?
So March 8th was they announced it early in the year. March 8th, first episode. They moved it to they're re-airing Monday Night Impact on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Which was a bad call. I'm like, why am I going to watch Impact if I can just rewatch it on Thursday?
Yeah, it was not must-see. It's funny. WWE didn't take that too seriously.
No, they
except
didn't.
For the first week. Do you remember what WWE aired the first week they did that?
No.
When Impact was with
Mondays? I wasn't watching it
I was
then.
Flipping. I remember.
Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels confront each other for the first time on Monday
they
Night Raw.
They brought it that week.
At the 9 o'clock hour as Impact is starting. I remember I didn't have cable at the time, so I was watching it at somebody else's house. I was flipping back and forth. I was like, this must have been how WCW
it's exactly
got
exactly how it was. And then it didn't last at all. But,
I would say the first week of Impact.
They just tried to knock out Bull on first minute. And then they're like, okay, we're done. Real competition.
That first episode, some stuff, we're seeing some cool stuff. Mm. After that, it was...
Forgettable.
WrestleCrap.com did like a good breakdown of like week by week one time.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of their inductions. I think you got to pay for to see most of that stuff now. But it was one of their... It had like a year-end award. And the new Monday Awards, that one. And they did like a breakdown of like... WWE's ratings, Impact's ratings, and what both shows did briefly.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Interesting.
They only lasted like 14 weeks or
so. Yeah, so then May 3rd, they moved back to Thursday.
Not even 14 weeks.
Yeah, March 8th to May 3rd, so...
I knew it wasn't very long.
Mm-hmm.
It was too bad, because they had no... I don't know why they moved to Monday nights in the first place. Because those were live. So they moved to live?
Yeah.
Monday nights to take on Raw. Why would you do... Like, that...
I don't know.
I feel like that was Eric Bischoff just being like, hey, you guys want me to do something WCW would do, even though we're in no business to be doing it?
Yeah.
they lost so much money doing that.
Oh, I know.
Doing live TV is way more expensive. That slot was more expensive. And they were just getting decked in the ratings because mm-hmm. the one was...
They were already competing against SmackDown at the time. Was on Thursday, wasn't it?
SmackDown was on Friday at that point.
Yeah. Oh, it was on Friday. So it hadn't moved to Thursday yet.
Yeah,
it does move to Thursday.
SmackDown was originally on Thursday.
Were Impact.
Moved to Friday.
When it was on Friday, was it still taped on Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah. It always been
always taped on
SmackDown
Tuesday.
SmackDown has always been
taped
Tuesday.
Until yeah. It's always been on Tuesday, really. Yeah, exactly. When they moved to Tuesday, it became live. Yeah.
Raw workers were always working Monday. SmackDown guys were always working Tuesday. Whether or not the show aired Tuesday was different. But yeah,
gotcha,
SmackDown was always Tuesday.
Yep.
I think occasionally it would be a Wednesday. I think when Taboo Tuesday happened at that time, they moved it to Wednesday.
Okay, that's fair.
So, when they moved back, they also launched Reaction at the same time, which I vaguely remember. It's like a documentary series about the characters at Impact, and I watched it for 10 minutes once. I think it's about as much watch as it deserved.
Yeah, it was too much.
Then they did some tapings in North Carolina, started moving around. They just rebranded Impact! Exclamation point of Impact Wrestling.
I remember that because they switched from
TNA.
Red to blue.
Yep.
They did a lot of color change.
No more six-sided.
Yep, they went to four-sided.
I thought Bischoff came in, they did
that. This is right when
Bischoff came in, they switched it. And that's when I was all like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, because Hulk Hogan cuts this promo in the ring about, we're going to start, doing this...
Saying how it's real wrestling. I'm like, it was so good before. Why would you fuck that up?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
They kind of took over Ohio Valley and made that their developmental...
Very briefly.
Very briefly. And just for We're in 2011 now.
We're getting there.
We kind of moved on another year here.
I think I was in college watching a couple of these.
I remember that. So I was still defending college, yeah. They had that Rock Hot King thing. I remember that.
Ring Hot King. I think it was Ka. I'm pretty sure it was Ring Hot King.
Ring Hot King, yeah.
But no, they were running some out of India. Great Khali was involved.
Yep. Then they went back to being live, but it was on Thursday instead.
Yeah, they moved back to Thursdays, which was smart. I don't know why
they should have been there in the first place, but hindsight.
What year was this?
They were in 2000. This is 2011. The end of 2011. Or no, 2012. They moved to live.
So I'm thinking Jeff Hardy had already come and went at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he had that big stinger with Sting. Because Jeff Hardy was supposed to win that match, right?
Jeff Hardy had
this big heel run where basically Bischoff and Hogan were the heels. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think Hogan might have left already. Hogan didn't stick around the whole time.
He wasn't there a whole long time now.
Yeah, because he.
When does Bischoff?
They were bankrupting themselves, paying those two. So I think eventually Hogan didn't want to be there because he's doing all that stuff, personal stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't really want to pay you, so you can go home. But Bischoff was still there.
They
pushed Bischoff as an authority figure, and Jeff Hardy kind of joins him. And
Hulk Hogan's contract expired in October 2003. And he returned to WWE in 2014.
Okay. But yeah, because... So we're jumping Jeff Hardy's having, Jeff Hardy's... There's rumors of him showing up backstage, not able to work, and then working around it. And then, which was the... Was it Victory Road, or was it Bound for Glory? I think it was Bound for Glory. Oh, yeah,
Well, he was fucked up when he showed up, is what I heard.
He wasn't getting any better. And they didn't want to send him out. Bischoff goes in the ring before him and says something, and Jeff comes out and does that t-shirt spot where he acts like he's gonna throw the t-shirt to the crowd.
He does it
for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You do that for 30 seconds maybe at a house show, definitely not on live TV.
Right, yeah.
But he won't stop. And then eventually throws it to ringside. Bischoff gets in Sting's face for some reason. Sting hits Scorpion Death Drop on Bischoff. Bell rings. Sting just grabs Jeff Hardy. Scorpion Death Drop. I think 13 seconds or something.
It was
fastest world title win in a long time. I remember Sting is very clearly pissed.
Oh yeah, Sting
just grabs the belt and walks off. The fans are chanting, "This is bullshit, and we want refunds at him." And right as the pay per view is off air, he's at the top of the ramp, and there's a "We want refunds" chant, and he goes, "I agree."
I do remember that.
They pick him up on the mic, you can hear him going, "I agree with you."
This was bullshit. And they addressed it.
They didn't fire Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy stayed there. They suspended him for a long time. He went and got clean. I think he actually had to do some jail time, too, because his He had like a house blow up that was suspected of like being like a meth lab at one point. Yeah,
probably was. Yeah, like, he was really fucked up.
Yeah,
like,
he was having some problems. I think he actually did a little jail time even. Okay. Or maybe it was just probation. He was in some kind of legal trouble. It was off air. They brought him back for like a redemption arc later where like everybody's like, hey, can we trust you, you know?
Right. So, well, he's back in the WWE, so he got his act cleaned up enough.
So yeah, you know? They lost their Universal Studios at the end of 2013.
The Impact Zone.
Impact Zone, they lost that. Hogan left right around then. I remember when Bischoff leaves, they send him out in a porta potty.
Yeah. Booker T was there for a minute.
I remember that. Yep.
I guess Booker was a giant pain to work with then. He like came in. He was done with WWE.
Yep.
They hadn't inducted him yet. He wasn't doing anything for him. Mm-hmm. And he literally just didn't want to work. Like, they're like, hey, Booker, will you do this job with Eric Young? No.
It was horrible.
Like, a lot of these guys got creative control contracts, too, I think. Where, like, they didn't have
to do learn our lesson.
They didn't want to do. They said, like, Booker was famously terrible to work with during that.
I just remember one time specifically, they took over the commentator booth and Booker T was there. And I was just like, this is the worst commentary I've ever heard in my life.
They had the Legends title. So, Booker was given the Legends title.
Yep.
I think he lost to Sting, and then maybe Flair had it, which made sense. And then
I think AJ won it.
AJ won it, and then they had to they rebranded that title like six times. Or it was the TV title. And
I don't even remember what it ended
international title. It was weird.
Yeah, I know they were jumping around for
and
a while.
And then D-Von got it.
Yeah.
And then they released him from contract and was holding it. I heard they like forgot to resign him. Like they were so. They weren't keeping up on when their guys' contracts were up.
Wow.
That's crazy, yeah.
mm-hmm.
Then they ended, later in that year, they ended their relationship with Ohio Valley. They started a relationship with the Japanese promotion Wrestle 1, which I don't even really remember happening.
I don't think it did a lot with it.
No. They arranged for Jarrett to wrestle for Wrestle 1.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember Jarrett going over to Wrestle 1. I think he won.
AJ Styles defended the TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Wrestle 1.
I think they sent some guys over for, like, they used to do, like, the World X Cups.
Yeah.
Where they would have the international guys for the X Division. Yep. I think they probably did some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Kota Ibushi wrestled in TNA for a bit.
Okay.
Was it Ibushi or was it Nate? One of the top Japanese names wrestled in TNA and they squandered the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Might even have been Okada. I'm outing myself as not knowing Japanese wrestling real here. One of the top Japanese names is considered one of the best in the absolute world, maybe best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestled in TNA and they just like didn't know
did
what to
nothing
do
with him.
Yeah. Now that I'm saying, I think it was Okada.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. Wasn't even Shinsuke Nakamura in TNA for a minute?
A hiccup? I don't think so.
I heard a rumor that he was in there.
I haven't seen it if he was. I'll say that.
2013 ended with Jeff Jarrett resigning from the company, quote unquote, but he was still an investor.
Yeah, I think he.
Then he started Global Force like later in the following year. Like,
yeah.
He left.
Yeah. No, I remember him starting Global Force and they taped a bunch of tapings for it.
Yeah.
There's a whole season of Global Force tapings that just never made air because
they're out there. But like nobody, they didn't have a network or anything, so they just have them.
Continue, because Global Force will come back up.
It will, for sure. So Sting leaves. So 14, like everyone starts leaving. That's like
they can't afford.
Mm-hmm. This is when they started. The former started to be like, oh boy, they got bad.
They offered Styles a 60% pay cut.
Styles left.
Styles told him to get fucked.
Yep, that was the end of the year. They left.
Japan made tons of money.
Yeah, became an even bigger superstar than he was.
Exactly. Sting left. Saban left. Hernandez left. Kaz left. Christopher Daniels left.
It's crazy.
Bully Ray and D-Von leave. It's crazy after because
Bully Ray, Hernandez, Sting, Kurt Angle was already gone at this point.
Yep, he left.
Kurt Angle, those guys were like their main event. They lost their main event all at once.
Yeah, dude.
They.
It was not good.
Because they were all part of around the time I stopped.
They were
watching.
All part of that.
Big, around that time, that hashtag yeah. came
they
out.
Were all, they were all. They were all part of that big TNA tournament. Because so one of my things was RVD won the TNA Impact title. Like he won the title.
Yeah.
And then Abyss murdered him.
Yeah.
He had that spike. He had Janus. That
yeah.
That,
Janus.
The 2x4 with nails in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's in
a puddle of blood.
There's
backstage.
This shot of RVD looking like he look at like a wad of hamburger.
Yeah. I remember that shot.
So they had to they vacated the world title and had this big tournament for it that went forever. RVD was wrestling again by the time the tournament was over.
Yeah, like wow.
that
was ridiculous.
Then TMZ leaked that Spike was not going to renew the contract past October 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
TNA refuted the report. Then. Like a few weeks after they refused the report, Spike moved it from Thursday to Wednesday. I remember that happening.
Yeah, Spike just started fucking.
Fuck you.
They're going to Wednesday now. They would mess with the time schedules on them, and they would I think even once on Spike, they just didn't air it at all.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, just one week.
I'm like, where was it? The guide said it was coming.
There
I
was a match we wanted to see.
Stone didn't air it.
Like, did we? I thought I was mad. I thought I fucking just missed an announcement or something. Like,
yeah, but they were going back and forth, and they actually signed an extension. They're like, but it wasn't like a long extension. They were like, they came to an agreement. Let's do the end of the year. End of the year.
Yeah, just long enough to tell them where they're going. Like.
Yeah, exactly. So then they get Bound for Glory, which actually was a co-branded one with Wrestle One. So they got a little bit more integration with
At this point, I don't think anybody was buying those pay-per-views. Like that,
I know. Yeah.
They could have not. They could not be selling pay-per-views.
Like we're not profiting off of them. There's no way. There's no way. They probably were getting people.
They just started doing them again recently. Up until very recently, they weren't doing pay-per-views.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. I don't know why or how anyone would buy a pay-per-view like in this day and age. Like now, like this is pretty much modern time at this point. Like we're
WWE not doing it anymore.
The network had launched already.
In like Ring of Honor and New Japan, they both have like apps where you like buy a subscription. So like no one does wrestling pay per views anymore. It's not heard of.
Right, and you're charging an arm and a leg for them. You're getting the WWE network for $9.99.
Like, back when WWE was charging $60 for a pay per view, I can get a TNA one for $30. Sounds great. Except when WWE's not charging $60,
you're over.
You sound like a crook.
Yeah.
No shit. Okay. So this was in October 2014. James Storm and the Great Sonata, right? Pronounce that.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, against Wrestle One's The Great Muta and Tajiri. I remember Tajiri. After Bound for Glory, TNA went on an effective hiatus because they didn't know what to do. I think this is probably when they hit the point where even though they reached the contract, this was the point where they just didn't hear an episode. They didn't get it out on time.
They were doing
like
a lot of best of stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of compilation episodes. In fact, they were famously showing episodes of like Kurt Angle when he was on. No, I guess it wouldn't have been Kurt Angle. And they were showing episodes of someone when they were on WWE.
Yeah, at the same time, yep. Mm-hmm.
Might have been Christian, because I think I would have been the only one possible at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last new episode on Spike was November 19th. And then it became Best Of. So they were actually doing they were like spotty showing it, and then they had their last live one, and then they get Best Of, because they knew and they started promoting going to Destination America, because they knew they were going to go there around the time they started doing Best Ofs, and they started. And
online. WWE had Destination America
Did they?
I'm sorry, I think thinking of WGN.
No, you're thinking of WGN.
I am, because they were running superstars on there.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Destination America was like, is still to this day, pretty much the Barbecue Pitmasters, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah,
but they had Impact for a year.
Yeah, no, Destination America, that's really all they had.
Mm-hmm.
What else were they running?
I don't know. They were advertising shit to me. I wasn't watching it. I'll tell you that.
I mean, to be fair, what is Pop running? Like
nothing.
They've been on
Schitt's Creek.
That's my favorite. Josh Matthews is just saying Schitt's Creek. I was like, what provoked that? I had to rewind it. He's like, oh, okay, he's plugging something. It's just like, that woke me up real quick.
Yeah.
So their first episode on Destination America was January 7th, 2015, live from the Grand Ballroom in Manhattan. I don't even remember that really happening anymore.
The Hammerstein Ballroom
episode.
I don't think they ever called it the Hammerstein Ballroom at that point.
Yeah.
It's called something else now. But yeah, famously that double level building.
We know the building.
We know a building, yeah. So they're
I watch ECW One Night Stand.
They mentioned this in here that they go from being able to reach 97 million people with Spike to only reaching 59 million households at Destination America. But that's still good compared to what they're going to end up doing. Spoiler for Pop. So they were doing Wednesdays at 9. And then they started airing other shows, Impact Wrestling Unlocked, hosted by Mike Tenay, which I don't even remember.
I remember that.
Do you? I don't remember.
I remember that.
We were still watching it kind of intently still, but at the time, a lot of people checked out.
I think I was thoroughly
tagged. I did not tap out yet. I did not tap out yet. When Impact
Spike, I was pretty much
we got Destination America in HD, so you were okay with it. It was when they moved to Pop, and we didn't get Pop in HD, SD only. We're like, fuck it.
I know I said I stopped watching earlier, but that's a lie. I stopped watching when they moved from Destination America to Pop.
It's documented on this
fucking podcast. Yeah, I guess it's... I heard you say you couldn't get an HD, you're just like, fuck it.
I'm like, we're beyond the days of me not being able to watch wrestling in HD. Like, fuck that.
Is Pop in HD now, or is it still
HD? It's on demand in HD for us. We still don't get it, the actual channel itself, and it's weird. But anyways, Kurt Angle comes back.
That's what, yeah.
Jeff Hardy comes back.
He's going to take a lot of time off.
Mr. Anderson comes back. It's the re-signing. So Kurt Angle comes back, but then Jeff Hardy, Abyss, Mr. Anderson,
I think Jeff Hardy, when he re-signed, he also came back. He left the company. I think it was when he came back. Like, they weren't sure they were going to re-sign him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I cleaned up. Like, they wanted him to prove he couldn't have
Zach. Awesome Kong comes back, too.
Awesome Kong can come back. Anderson. Because they were doing the thing where he was pushing, he was like a military thing or something.
Actually kind of started going okay. Like, it seemed like, oh, this thing's free-falling. Because, like, the way they were, you know, with
pushing the network. This was Aces and Eights at the time,
Aces and Eights came into play. Yeah, we're out of somewhere. It's around somewhere. The money in the buying contract we have for that Roy holds right now. But yeah, that was around that time where they were settled into
you
something.
You enjoyed that because you had not seen the NWO stuff.
I'm not familiar with the NWO at the time.
Oh, so you were waiting. It was like the first time ever.
I'm on board with this. You were enjoying me watching it.
I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen. Go ahead.
It settled into something at least.
That's where Bully Ray really got over his singles.
He's a good talker.
They gave him that ball and he ran with it.
He was really good.
He got like in shape too.
No, he was putting in work, man.
He was a big boy and like
he started going out with Velvet Sky.
He got rewarded with that.
She cheated on Chris Sabin with him, I think.
Oh really?
It was Sabin or Shelly. She was going out with one of them, and something happened, and she started getting with Bubba.
Yeah, she was at the Hall of Fame, so I think they're still together.
No, they are. No, I think they actually I think they might even be married. I'm not sure.
Then fucking Samoa Joe leaves. Boo. Taz leaves the announcer. Boo. I like Taz a lot.
So here's the thing. It's funny because they put Samoa Joe with Taz. He looked so bad in that like Nation of Violence angle thing.
I liked it. Samoa Joe is the second coming of Taz as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then Taz abducts him and like tries to be like his manager, and it's I don't take Taz seriously anymore. So that was a problem.
I preferred him on the
commentary. I also heard that I think Joe caught a suspension at one point for like going off in the ring. He was really frustrated. Something happened. And he caught like a 30-day suspension and like a fine for like going off on somebody in the ring. Because he was always outspoken. There was right when one of the first like big debacles Tina had was Nash was there and he was gonna wrestle Sting and Joe and he was gonna bring in Scott Hall. Scott Hall no showed the event.
Oh man, shocking.
Scott Hall, one of his, like, down times. And Joe, like, just goes out there for the main event and just we're done with all the old people in this company, you know, and all these people, you know, holding the spot for people like us. I think he swore a couple times. I remember he caught, like, a fine for that. The best part, though, is he's burying Scott Hall and Kevin Nash is just behind him, like, I want to be mad, but, like, how mad can I be?
You want to defend the guy who's not here.
Right now, he's my best friend, but I get it. So Joe leaving was one of the final straws. Joe was one of the big reasons to still watch that company, and they had squandered him for a while.
Yeah.
Then he was gone.
Then Billy Corgan comes in.
Oh, God.
What? I have read thoroughly about how this went, and I'm not even sure I still understand. Like,
explain it to us. We don't know as much as you do, I think.
All right, so Billy Corgan has long been interested in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, no, he's a fan. He's definitely
Now he has the
My championship that I'm trying to buy.
So Dixie's kind of buttering him up to put some money into TNA because they're hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
I think at this point they were starting to... checks were starting to bounce.
Yeah, like
they were not
like,
paying.
They tried to elevate the issue. They go, like, "Oh, things pretty good." They resigned some people, but they couldn't actually afford to resign the people.
Checks were bouncing, and people were, you know, no showing because they didn't, rightfully so. If your checks are bouncing, why would you? Would you work unless you're working for Paul Heyman? Yeah. So Dixie comes in, and it sounds like at this point Dixie's parents, who are running Panda Energy, are kind of done with. Like, they want to be
great
out.
Experiment. They is over.
Okay, hey, like, giving you 10, this was 15
fun.
Years almost.
This was fun, but we've lost a lot of money on this. Like, let's see if we can't get some help in.
Yeah.
And Anthem hadn't come. I don't even know if Anthem was a thing yet.
No, I don't know. No, I don't think they're anywhere near a thing yet, yeah.
So Billy comes in, and, you know, they're buttering him up. They put him on TV. He's a character, and he's feeling out buying the company.
Yep.
Anthem does enter. Actually, because the Fight TV app, I think, hosted TNA for a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
They had stuff on there. I think Anthem owns the Fight TV app.
Yeah.
So Anthem starts wanting to buy the company. Billy wants to buy the company. Mm-hmm. I think Anthem might have already had a cut at this point. I'm not sure how much, but I think Anthem was already
invested
part owner.
Yeah.
I think Jarrett had sold off his part of the company.
Yeah.
I think Jarrett was well
I
out of the picture.
I think you are ahead.
We skipped ahead. I'm sorry.
You're a year ahead. You're in the pop days.
We skipped the Jarrett Global. As I was talking about Jarrett, I was like, wait. Jarrett came back
yeah.
and tried to supplement the failing company with his new company.
He's like, we'll just inject some Global Force into this.
Yeah,
it'll be okay.
People were trying to accuse Jeff Jarrett of willing Global Force into existence.
Yeah.
Like, Global Force isn't real, but Jeff Jarrett is just going to shove it down our throats until it is.
Yeah, exactly kind of what happened. Because you're like, we were watching it, and we're like, what's this?
Because they were unifying titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually they just called TNA Global
Force.
With a shotgun wedding.
Still get TNA Wrestling on Global Force Network, I believe.
It's called Global Force Network. Yeah. I don't think they're changing it either.
It's so funny to me. They officially
change everything to Global Force.
Yeah, everything.
Within a few months, Jeff Jarrett brings in Jim Cornette again.
Oh,
Cornette comes back to the company.
Okay.
He's been working with Bruce Pritchard. Mm-hmm. Pritchard, Jarrett are in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrett's running again.
Mm-hmm.
Cornette's there. So it's like they're bringing back these older guys, and then Jarrett just has a breakdown.
Hmm.
He ended up going to WWE sponsored rehab. It was alcohol and pills. Jarrett like has a breakdown. So he pulls away from Global Force. I know he owned part of the company at this point. Mm-hmm. He owned Global Force. Jarrett backs out, and what they find is they don't have
the rights to anything.
The rights to Global Force.
They don't have anything.
So they have to rebrand everything back because they can't use Global Force without Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that. Yeah.
And then they move to Canada, and Cornette famously won't go to Canada.
Oh, why is that? Do you know?
He had a So back when he was a manager, he would get, you know, assault charges occasionally from hitting people with tennis rackets that came at him. And he could get into Canada if he got the right paperwork, but he tried to get in there one time, and they gave him they treated him real bad. He's just like, he doesn't like to travel. But he's like, I'll travel to Orlando once a month to do tapings, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're moving to Canada now.
He's like,
he's like, I don't like to travel, and I'm certainly not going to. It's really funny because he was on the experience. He was pimping going to Michigan for the Kobo Comic Con convention. He's like, if you live in Canada, this is the closest you'll ever see me because I won't go to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about it, and then Cornette shows up on Impact. 2 weeks later, they announce they're moving to Canada, and Cornette just goes, I'm done. I'm not. I won't do it.
Yeah,
because the plans all went awry when Jeff
left.
I learned in this that Canadians can be rude.
I have heard their border security can be pretty crazy.
Yeah. Dude, one time we were trying to come back into America, and we were like, well,
Where'd you stay? A couple of shithead 19-year-olds.
Yeah, we were like, I was 19. He was 21. I was 19.
Going up the Canada to pick the flowers.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we're staying in Niagara Falls. Joe loved it. You got to see the WWE store that was there still at the time. It's not there anymore.
It was great.
Hanging out at some of the casinos there and stuff. I was playing some poker for like a couple days. And then we had been to Toronto before, but I think we were with a friend of ours, and he had not been to Toronto. So we're like, well, we'll just drive. It's like an hour drive in, so we'll just drive right to downtown, like you look at stuff for a couple hours, and we'll eat lunch and go back home on the Canadian border, where they're like, where'd you stay? We're like, Niagara Falls. They're like, well, we got your plate pictured in downtown Toronto at this thing. What were you up to? And I mean, it's like,
we're tourists.
I know. We're really fucking intense about it.
I didn't even have dreadlocks back then. I looked like a respectable human being.
I find that hard to believe. Not to get geopolitical, but people talk about like the U.S. borders being like crazy. Canada's and Mexico's are, I hear, a lot harder to get into than some others. And wrestlers had famously just, they get tired of it. They don't treat you super good. The criminal thing, Jim Cornette needed to like get it proved that he wasn't a certain kind of something. Because if you have a criminal record, they really don't like you going to Canada.
Oh, yeah. If you have DUIs, you can't get over there.
It's hard to do.
You cannot go over there.
So he had to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and Cornette was like, you guys treat me like shit. I just don't want to. But MVP wasn't able to go to Canada when he was in WWE because he had something. He was in jail for a while.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy couldn't go.
Yeah.
Basically anybody with a criminal record had a hard time getting into Canada and certain parts of Europe.
Okay.
They blame that on why MVP didn't get over to WWE because they were doing a lot of like overseas travel time. It was like,
you can't go.
Because I think some of it depends on what the offense was. Yeah. MVP definitely did jail time.
No, he did. Part of his character development was that he did
prison time. Yeah, so he couldn't go anywhere. Right. Like, anywhere that didn't let a felon go, he couldn't go.
Exactly. Kind of blacklisted in that way a little bit. But,
yeah, I wonder if Kurt Angle has trouble getting into Canada at this point because of his DUI problem.
Probably does.
Was he there when they went to Montreal for Raw?
I don't remember either.
Yeah,
they were just in Montreal like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Anyways, So, interestingly enough, Destination America, first off, they're owned by Discovery Channel. I didn't know that until right now, but they had their best quarter ever, that first quarter Impact moved. Like, their best quarter in terms of viewership, in terms of revenue.
I mean, what else were they playing?
Barbecue is all I can think of. But,
yeah.
And barbecue was hot at the time. It's a little more hot. It had, like, a little bit of, a, like, a do-it-yourself.
Guy Fieri had just hit the market.
But, so, like, and they even mentioned Impact, we think, is one of the reasons that but Impact is one of the reasons that we're doing better. But it didn't matter. Discovery was like, cut the cord on them. They moved to Pop November 19th of that year.
Yep.
Is Destination America still a thing?
It is, yeah. It's still a channel. It's not as watched as it was.
I wonder why they did away with it. All I can think of is that maybe the backstage politics were you know what? I think I do know. TNA famously would do things they weren't supposed to do. Destination America would say, you can't... I forget the specifics. They did not want certain things on their TV.
Yeah, because it's owned by Discovery. Discovery and being like, we don't want to cause shock.
Yeah, Impact was not being as not dealing with the network as well as they could. So I think it was a political thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, every wrestling company's dealt with it. Spike didn't want certain things on their TV. USA doesn't want certain things on their TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the thing, is, yeah, I had read that the political problems with Dixie that were starting to arise, I think they were afraid the company wasn't going to last, either.
I think it was one of their other things. If you lose me as a viewer, that's... Yeah. And you own a wrestling company, that's
not watching it.
Well, checks were bouncing for people, and the political... Like, everyone saw how, the ownership of the company was... up in the air at this point.
World title series like, time, by the way.
It's around the time that Tyrus got his world title shot.
Yeah, We've gone over that in other episodes so many times, yeah.
I imagine Destiny's Runner's like, we can sign them a 5-year deal for our thing, but this company's only got a year and a half left.
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes a lot of sense.
So they go to Pop, which no one had.
Nobody.
That channel was unheard of.
Yeah. I was calling it Poop TV for the longest time because I could not find it.
Maria Kanellis, Mike Bennett show up during this time.
Yeah. Christy Hemme shows up way earlier, guys.
By the way. Yeah, Christy Hemme was a big announcer.
She impressed the fuck out of me with her mic skills.
Actually, Austin Aries had like his first "I'm a giant dickbag" spot with her.
Oh, really?
She fucked up his name during entrance, so he puts her in the corner.
Yeah, I remember
and stands
that
on the ropes with his dick in her face.
That was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, watch. You can tell she doesn't. She's not enjoying this at all.
That's probably one of the reasons I don't like Aries.
I think he got released after.
Austin Aries rubs me the wrong way.
He worked for the company when it was Austin Starr, and he was tagging with Roderick Strong.
Yeah, regardless if she fucked your name up or not,
it was way back when he missed their tapings, they fired him, they brought him back. He did that, and I'm pretty sure he lost any kind of standing. And as he should, I don't know if he should ever worked after that.
No, I'm surprised they brought him back after. I was just felt very uncomfortable the whole time. I was watching, I'm pretty sure this was not in the
fucking script. I had heard he was not a good guy, but that was the first time on camera you'd be like, oh, he's a real piece of shit, huh?
But his character was kind of a piece of shit at the time, too, though. I don't know. I didn't like it.
I think that might be art imitating life.
Yep. Yeah. Totally. But, so they recorded their first couple of months on Pop. All of them from this one, weekend.
Yeah, no, for, like, I think it was, three or four days, and they did 3 months of TV.
Exactly. They recorded everything at a casino in Pennsylvania over a whole weekend. And that included Kurt Angle in there, Eric Young in there, Bobby Roode in there, Velvet Sky in there. But after that ended,
and
they went back to the Impact Zone, they were gone.
Yeah, as it turns out, taping that far in advance can lead to a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're not signing people's contracts, extensions.
Then this is when Billy Corgan elevates to president of the situation. Then here's the thing.
Billy Corgan buys in.
That's where Anthem comes in. Yeah,
Billy Corgan buys in. Do you guys remember the name of Billy Corgan's company?
Oh.
No.
Smashing Pumpkins.
I'm kidding.
I cannot think of it either.
Yeah, they were fighting for it. I think Billy Corgan wanted to buy an Anthem too, and they weren't having it.
Yeah.
No.
Corgan wanted to own it.
He was definitely interested.
So, there's this big dispute of Anthem wants this much. Corgan wants this much. And they kept getting pretty agreeable. And then Dixie would go, but I want. And
Dixie
ruined everything.
Yep. Dixie still owned a little part of it.
She had a minority share, but she was causing... No, she didn't have much. I think she still had a majority share.
Oh.
But what the problem was is Anthem and Corgan both wanted mutual majority shares. I think they wanted to own equal parts.
They wanted to collectively end up owning a majority of it.
Comparable equal parts.
They're probably trying to buy enough off of Dixie.
Dixie did not want to lose majority ownership. So it's screwing everything up. And finally, Corgan filed suit and says, she is making this deal impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I want my money back.
Right.
I have put money into this.
Okay, so August 12th, he becomes new president. On October 13th, Corgan sues TNA to an unpaid debt, which Corgan claimed TNA defaulted on.
He paid for those that big 3 months of tapings. I think those were, he flipped the bill for that.
That makes sense. Also, right around the same time, the state of Tennessee puts a lien on the company for not paying their taxes. Mm-hmm. Then Anthem Sports, parent company of Impact Wrestling Canadian Broadcaster Fight Network, offers to help TNA to repay Corgan for the loans while also giving assistance before they don't have to file for bankruptcy. Pay off the tax debt, pay off probably some other debt.
Which is where we are right now, I believe.
Yeah.
Fight Network owns Anthem Sports.
Corgan lost his injunction that kept TNA from selling the company, but TNA was required to pay Corgan back by the next day, next business day.
Yeah.
November 1st. Since they couldn't do that, they effectively gave him majority ownership through that. Because they couldn't pay him. He's like, I'm going to sue you for this because you're fucking up this deal.
Well, Corgan doesn't have majority ownership. I think Anthem owns 95%.
And then Dixie has 5%. Yeah. But,
Let me just read it verbatim. It makes more sense.
Sure.
It was possible that one of the other minority owners could pay Corgan, effectively making him majority owner. But on November 3rd, The company revealed that Anthem Sports Entertainment provided the credit facility to fund the operations for TNA, and that Corgan was no longer president of the company.
I believe Anthem Sports got a big old loan.
Yep.
To pay all the TNA stuff, but the idea was is that okay, we took out this loan.
We're the guys. We own you now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that Dixie's parents were out at this point. Yep. This was just Dixie Carter owning a company.
Yep.
Pan Energy or whatever other company they were going by had nothing to do with it. They basically had cut her off.
Right. So, actually, then Corgan sues again. Corgan himself stated that neither TNA nor Anthem Sports had yet repaid the $2.7 million that he was owed to, and such he was considering suing again and converting the debt into a 36% stake in the company. He was going to try and use his debt to, like I was saying before, like try to take more of the company
over. Definition of a money mark. This guy wants wrestling more than he wants. Like, I don't care about the money they owe me. I just want to...
Do the wrestling.
I want to own this company.
Yeah,
as a result of the settlement between Corgan and TNA, Anthem Sports Entertainment acquired the loans Corgan made to Dixie. CBS Corporation, who owns Pop, joined Hulu's new live stream service to broadcast TNA and the Sports Entertainment.
The only reason I can see, I've seen TNA's through that.
I watch it on demand now.
On the cable thing here, yeah.
Anthem, for this podcast, for no other reason.
Yeah.
We do it for you.
Dixie Carter retained...
All 12 of you.
Yes.
In part of the deal, Dixie Carter retained a 5% minority stake.
Yep.
But resigned as chairwoman after 14 years and joined Fight Media Group's advisory board.
Mm.
Promotion parent company, T Entertainment, was changed firstly to Impact Ventures and then to Anthem Wrestling Exhibitions, LLC, with Anthem's current vice president becoming the president of that company. Jeff Jarrett was brought in on January 5th. I believe it is of last year still. In March 2nd, all appearances were dropped to the name TNA. Bruce Pritchard stated that the name was dead. Well, this is right in there. Boom.
Yeah, no, this is, we didn't get this little bass backwards. But yeah, this is where Cornette came in. This is where Pritchard came in.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrett was back, and they said, all right, well, Anthem wants Jarrett involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Jarrett had a breakdown, and he's in the Hall of Fame now. Good for him. Like,
yeah.
That seems to be the WWE way, is that you have a breakdown. WWE pays for your rehab, because they do that now, and good for them.
Yeah.
And then once you're clean, then Triple H goes, hey, how'd you like to come home? And
it's good for the fans. You know, it's that whole prodigal son mentality. Yeah. You know, like, go ahead, be a fucker, but come on back. You're forgiven. Welcome home.
I mean, they forgave Jeff Jarrett for holding the Intercontinental title hostage. I don't know what else they won't forgive at this league. That might have been the most egregious, extortion of WWE ever.
When this got announced, that was the most shocked thing I've heard in a while. It's like... Did I hear that right?
Yeah, what else are they? The only person I know that they won't, they've never forgiven was the dude that played Chains, I think. He was one of the, like, the prisoner guys from, they feuded with the Nation Domination.
I don't even remember. Was he one of the Disciples of Apocalypse?
Yes,
guys?
He was one of those guys. I guess he was one of the biker guys. I think he attacked Vince.
Oh,
God. One of those guys. It was Nails. I'm sorry. It was Nails. Nails attacked Vince.
Okay.
And Vince won't talk about it, but he is not mentioned.
Gotcha.
You know, he's never. They don't talk about him, and Vince won't talk about what happened.
I'm not surprised. I'm like, I know the name because I watch a lot of wrestling, but I had no idea why he was so, like, you know, gone.
Yeah, other than that, Vince will forgive anything. But
so they rebrand the promotion. Impact, Drew Galloway, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Jade, Crazy Steve. I remember Crazy Steve.
Crazy Steve.
I liked Crazy Steve.
Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis, they all leave. This is all early 2017, so.
Yep. Matt. Jeff's already gone. Matt.
Jeff.
Yeah, I think Jeff left before Matt. Matt may be wrong about that, though.
Oh, Jeff Hardy. Okay,
yeah. Jeff and Matt go back to...
Yeah, Jeff was a little earlier. Well, no, Jeff was injured because of the bike thing.
Yeah, thing. So I think they might have...
He was on injury leave, but they probably both at the same time.
Yeah, because they did, like, a match for Ring of Honor, and they went back to WWE for...
I mean, they did all the deletion stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm like, Jeff got
going on. We didn't mention that, but that was going on. That was, like, the shining part of the situation. Yeah,
that was the only thing worth a damn on that show.
Yeah, Galloway, yeah, was doing good there, but they let him go.
I hate him.
You're gonna have to explain that to me sometime. I don't know. We're definitely going long already.
Like, so if there's anybody still listening out there, we're within a year. We're getting there.
This is around the time that you brought up already, where they merged with Global Force because Jeff Jarrett, you know, came back involved. They merged with Global Force and they try to work it out for like a month. They rebranded everything and they have to unrebrand it. This is actually when that happened.
Yeah.
Anthem released the Global Wrestling Network as an alternative to the WWE Network later last year.
Have you guys ever seen? Have you used that before?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I was told when it launched that. So you see, you know a lot about the internet.
Yeah.
When you go, so like when you put your, you go to like the Netflix sign up subscription screen. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things saying that the connection's secure, your card is safe, and no, people can't see this. When you went to sign up for that, people got warnings that said, this is not a secure connection.
People were getting warnings from the bank saying
SSL certificates are $100.
Come on now, people.
No, I take it back. I have looked at it, and I just to be like, you know what? What does this thing all look like? And I'm like, this looks like a bad porn site. I don't want to give them my fucking information. They
were
literally,
people were getting notifications from their bank saying like, hey, don't do that. Like, this is not a safe place to be putting your stuff.
Right.
No. It's worse than a bad. Like, it's most really porn bad. Sites, you when you pay, like they're secure.
Bad porn sites.
Yeah. Like this is talk about behind the paywall. This is the only other good paywall.
We're talking about a paywall. It's all come full circle behind the wall.
Good for us.
We did it, boys.
Took us 2 hours to make any sense out of Impact Wrestling, and we just figured that all landed behind the paywall.
So Jeff Jarrett leaves because of all that. Like, it's not going well, like he said. And so they leave, and they have to un-global force everything.
Wonder how much money they have had to spend redoing belts.
I know.
Because they always make new belts when new stuff happens.
Like, it's at least worth, like, a solid mid-card wrestler at this point. I don't know who these people are, but Anthem announced in December of last year, Don Callis and Scott DeMore.
Callis owns in Anthem Sports. I think he's like the president of Anthem Sports. DeMore has worked for TNA forever.
He was so in they're Canada. Doing day to day. They're doing day to day ops. Oh yeah, you mentioned that. I'm talking about Team Canada originally.
Yeah, he's been
starting with January 10th of this year. They've been handling day to day. Went back to a four-sided ring. They went back to a six-sided ring, by the way, and then they went back to a four-sided ring. We forgot about that.
Yeah, I think when Hogan and Bischoff left, they went back to the six-sided ring for a bit. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Austin Aries comes back, speaking of him.
This is about when we started watching it together.
We got Su Young, we got all those people.
Del Rio has come and gone like three different times.
Yep. Impact announced a partnership with Twitch, which now we know. And I actually went on Twitch because I was thinking, hey, we have a show on YouTube. We could get other people that have comedy gigs around here to give us some of their content. And so, like, 24/7 streaming on YouTube. Then I'm like, what about Twitch? I look into it, and it's like all gaming still. Like, I thought maybe because
the
wrestling.
Wrestling is the only other thing that's hit Twitch other than gaming.
Well, I'm like really big into poker, and poker people will like live stream their poker sessions, but that's like similar to gaming. It's just gaming money.
It's still a live streaming game.
Exactly.
Mostly video games, some other kind of live streaming games. I've seen a few sports things, and then pro wrestling. That's the only thing Twitch is for at this point.
So their first live show on that was that Impact versus Lucha thing that we saw.
ADR no show. Did we talk about that? Did we talk about that on here?
We touched. The
Del Rio no show. Yeah. He filmed an angle in the morning and then no showed the main event,
which is crazy.
And then Pentagon won the title that night off Aries.
So
he won that match. I think. I don't think. That was a non-title match.
I'm pretty sure it was a title match.
He won it at Redemption.
Was the rematch the title?
The rematch was the title match.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I've been watching the crap.
Was it at Redemption?
Yeah.
That's right.
Redemption, that's the end of the history, by the way. They announced their first live pay-per-view back since, like, Legend pay-per-views anyway. We went over that already, but on April 22nd, they had Redemption.
That was the most TNA thing ever. Is their first pay-per-view back, they book Del Rio versus Aries for the main event, and Del Rio's fired before they get to the main event.
Yeah, now it looks like Austin Aries has heard. He's been walking around with his arm in a sling and everything.
Hasn't
he? Well, last Impact.
So here's the thing. I went to look at the TNA roster page on Wikipedia, and it hasn't been updated.
Oh.
It literally has Aries still as champion, LAX still as tag champs, and neither of those are true.
That is not true.
Well, yeah.
So
you know you're doing badly when no one will update your Wikipedia roster page.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, if they're willing to take my $8, I'll buy the company and I will update the Wikipedia. I'll do that.
I hear that Anthem Sports, the Fight Network, is actually doing really good business because they work with the Fight Network has Ring of Honor stuff on it too.
Yeah, I feel like they might do something with it.
And New Japan stuff, and I think they're gonna Billy Corgan, who now used the money he got from that lawsuit to buy the NWA.
Yep, he did.
I think he's been doing stuff with indie promotions. Like, if he ever gets a thing, that Fight TV app might be the future.
Might be the competition. It's a conglomerate of everything else. thrown together.
It's weird to think that like WWE could ever have another competition, but like they're kind of taking like the territory.
They're getting
ideas.
The internet. No, I was saying and that earlier episodes of this show, like the territories are back, but it's more global.
Yeah,
when you think like the NWA thing, they should be able like actually just like at some point make an executive decision. They're like, let's elevate this. And make it back to the old school territorial.
We don't have as many territories, but like, there's definitely East Coast wrestling and West Coast wrestling.
There's Lucha Libre.
Yeah, there's definitely, and now that traveling is, you know, I mean, back in the 70s, even flying was weird.
And the idea with the Impact, supposed to become the Canadian territory. That's the kind of angle they're shooting for now.
Yeah, they're based in Canada now, so.
Yeah, so I mean, I think this Fight TV, and I don't think it'll be anytime soon. Maybe in 5 years we'll look and go, we were talking about Fight TV like it was nothing, and like this is like the thing now.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, I think we're gonna hit a period here and just fucking stop talking. I don't know. That was unintentional.
Hashtag Fire Dixie was successful.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anymore. Yeah. Anyways, it's been 2 hours.
Dixie is not fired. She's doing business WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, she's really? Been on several things. Yeah. Talking about
Table for Three, I think.
AJ,
she was on.
talks about Kurt.
Yep. So she's around still.
Yeah, where are we at on this? How long is this?
Two something.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts, Cody Goads.
I'm good. Let's just go. TNA's fun.
Showtime.
I liked it.
Final thoughts.
We've been pimping this show for a while. We've been meaning to talk about this. It's a long show. Hope you stuck with us, but I think we're pretty thorough. We got some wires crossed, but I think we got the message across.
Absolutely.
As well. It's been fun. Final thoughts, Trebuchet?
This was a good show. I'm glad we got this down. I'm glad we covered everything here.
Yeah, I don't mind going long. I feel like
I don't either. There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
I feel like we had the right room.
We discussed
for it
too.
People who've
company.
Seen a lot of it.
Yeah.
The three-man booth worked well here.
A whole company's existence in 2 hours and roughly 10 minutes here. So I think that's a testament to the Undisputed Podcast of the world.
Who else could do it? Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody else is willing to.
So we've talked about a lot of TNA. Just one more thing.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about WWE? You know what? You know what WWE stands for, right?
Walk with Elias! That is true. That is my final thought. I am Trebuchet. Trebuchet out.